If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Push on, black man, push on.
Black is not a color.
Tell that to black people.
I don't know any.
It's gonna be a party.
British people.
Oh, they're polite and the men all sound gay, but they will rip out your heart.
I'll consider it a date, baby.
We know his accent is phony, but we don't care.
I love little girls.
Welcome to my nightmare.
I just love funny people. Funny people are great, you know, and so hilarious.
That girl's fat.
Ah, weird. Hello. Oh my goodness, hello. Ew, strong Brittany.
Oh my God, I couldn't believe this. I thought I had bought tickets to SeaWorld.
Oh no.
Say you love Jesus, say it.
If I say I love another man, doesn't that make me gay?
Do you want to be damned for all eternity?
No, I just want you to go to hell.
Our feature presentation.
Yes, that's the way conversation should be had. In opposition to South Pasadena. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it's Thursday, the 6th of March. Kapow, bow. What's happening, party people?
Not much.
I'm surprised to see you sitting down. I'm still standing up from the meeting yesterday, Kevin.
Yeah,
How
were you able to
meeting?
Sit? You know how that goes.
Really?
Hey, you must have a pillow or something under your butt.
We're going to need to see you guys in the office right after the show.
We knew it was serious when he popped his head in and said, and just the two of you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
I'm sure you think this every day of your life, Lisa, but yesterday was yet another day where you should say to yourself, thank God I'm not Kevin and Bean.
I did. Trust me. As I was walking out the door, as you were walking to Mr. Weatherby's office,
she was very thrilled. She was quite happy. Yeah.
Oh, just you. Oh, okay. Too bad.
She's like, I'll see you guys tomorrow.
I can sum up the meeting for you, Lisa, in just a few words, and I think our listeners might be interested in peeling back the curtain a little bit of behind the scenes of the glamorous and exciting life of being a radio disc jockey. Here's tell me if this is accurate, Kevin. Tell me if this sums up the flavor of the hour that we spent in his office. More Modest Yahoo, less Kevin and Bean.
Oh, I'd say that's pretty accurate.
Really?
Would you say that's about right?
And let me just continue. What is it that you guys are doing right now? Well, A, B, C, and D. Okay, all bad. You need to stop that. Well, what should we do?
Don't know. Just something else.
Just don't do that.
Okay. Thanks for coming.
Good looking out.
Wow.
Good chat. Glad we had this.
Felt good leaving that office, didn't you?
Oh, there's nothing more encouraging than going to that office. No. I'll tell you, you walk out, you're walking on air.
Right.
A motivational genius.
Yeah.
So, are we scrapping our schedule today?
It was fun.
No, because we don't know what else to do, really.
And he doesn't know what else to do.
But just whatever we're doing, stop it. Basically.
Yeah. Why don't you
well,
stop
you,
it?
Maybe you should be the one stopping it. And then we have an argument, and then we yell, and then everybody leaves.
Yeah, that sounds pretty about much. Right.
And he wins because he's the boss.
Exactly. All right.
So that happened.
So that happened.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We try. We really do our best to drag everyone into those meetings that we can. Just so that there's more people to take the wrath. You know, we try to get Lisa to come, try to get Lightning to come, try to get assistant producer Alex to come, and Ralph and just Omar and Mike sometimes. We just try our best. And
pack it in.
Yeah, yesterday it was just, it wasn't fun.
Well, he's gonna deal out a certain amount of beatings per meeting, and the more people are there, the fewer individual beatings each person gets. So if there's only Kevin and Bean, then we get all the beatings. At least if Mike's in there, he can get slapped around a little bit. If Lisa's in there, she can get her pee-pee whacked, you know? But instead, it's just us.
She has a pee-pee?
It's just an expression.
Only in the meeting.
Oh. It's just an expression. So anyway, we are back, and we are energized, and we are excited.
Feels like we had a month off. Does it feel that way to you?
It sure does. It absolutely does.
Just, I have so much more energy today, and wow, this is great. We had a good break.
We are, we're hitting the ground running today, though. Today's going to be fantastic.
Sure. Okay. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Former sports guy Matt Money Smith. on the program today? Money? What are you going to talk about?
I'm going to talk about my friend Bo Bachman. I bought more than 5 cars for my friend Donna Galpin for their dynasty, just like the...
Got an email from listener Alfredo who says, hey, how come no one's talking about the great job Money did on the Lakers radio broadcast the other night? They should let Stu and that hack Thompson go.
Yes.
And just do a simulcast with Spyro and Money.
Stop. Time out.
Right.
So I'm listening to the radio. I listen to the Lakers station as I am wont to do.
By the way, one of the topics in yesterday's meeting was that Psycho Mike needs to stop interrupting so much.
But oh, go really?
Exactly. Good. Tell him to shut the F up.
Good.
Right.
Listen. So I go, hey, Bean. Texting him. Matt Money Smith is going to fill in for Michael Thompson today. You know, he's sick. Isn't that interesting? I thought you might be interested in that. No.
He texted back, no?
No, not really.
Bean.
Look, so don't come today with, isn't that great? Hey, everybody, you should have checked out Matt Money Smith.
I was extremely interested in it. I'm just trying to stop where the information's coming from. I don't want you to get in the habit of telling me everything that's going on in your little head. That's all.
But he really does not like to be contacted in any way for any reason. Even if it's something he's interested in, he will feign, you know, he'll write back, nope, no, don't care.
And by the way, two things, Mike. First of all, your job is to stand there and look pretty. And second of all, what was the rest of my sentence? It wasn't just no. It was, I bet you're actually upset that the mic wasn't asked to do it.
The mic?
Because I think that's really what the point of your message was. Wow. Is that somebody else is getting some attention. And isn't that sad?
That's clearly
it's not me. No,
my point was that Matt was going to do a great job, and I was excited that he was going to do play-by-play.
I wish you would have told me. I don't listen to the games on the radio really ever unless I'm in my car. So if I'm watching it on TV, then I get the great Stu Lance.
Yeah.
When I could be getting
hey,
money.
I love Money. Please don't anyone misunderstand this. I was thrilled for him, and I think I'm sure he does a great job because he's enormously talented. You know, young and enthusiastic and energetic.
People the opposite don't beat of all him up in Mike. Offices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Also on today's show, we're going to talk about hot moms and the problems they cause. We're talking about Jerry Ryan yesterday, mm-hmm. 7 of 9.
She had a baby.
And, you know, pretty hot. When those kids grow up, they're going to be, you know, 5 and 6. The kids are going to be coming over and saying, let's stay at your house tonight.
That's creepy.
5 and 6 was a joke.
Yeah.
Also, our intern, Moose, he said his friend's mom was super hot and always walked around naked.
Oh, my
God. What's up with that, by the way?
So,
really?
I mean, basically, it was all of the kids in school going, we're coming over to your house today. That'd be great.
Is that why the mom walked around naked? Is because there were teenagers?
I don't think so. I didn't get the idea that she was trying to do that, but I got the idea that she didn't care all that much if that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Sometimes your clothes just can't stay on.
Right. And when you're in high school and you're a guy, that's pretty good. That's a good deal right there.
Yeah, definitely.
Also on the program today, we're going to find out why Psycho Mike doesn't have a birthday.
Aww.
We have a birthday list here that they put up on the door every month,
mm-hmm.
and it says, you know, March birthdays, and then they list everybody and what the date is, which I think is a pretty nice idea so everybody can kind of remember. Psycho Mike hasn't made the list now for 5 years in a row.
Wow. Oh, Mike.
And he's not thrilled with it because, I don't know, there are people that have been fired that are on the list still. So that doesn't seem good. We'll take care of that. VoteForTheWorst.com.
Oh, this is the American Idol?
Yes.
Excellent.
I think they actually, we won't have them today. I think they're
Tuesday. They're tomorrow? Oh, Tuesday. Okay.
Tuesday. Right. Yeah, the next American Idol show. But this is great. We talk to these people every year. They basically look at who the least talented contestants are, and then they organize as best they can millions of people to vote for those people to keep them on just to continue to mock American Idol.
I love that.
And I love that, too. Not watching the show, I love that. That's the best. Because that's how I would vote. I vote comedy. You don't vote for the best singer.
You know, TMTH, that kid, is their guy pick right now.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
Do everything they can to keep Danny Noriega on.
You have that clip? TMTH, you have that clip?
That's not at my fingertips.
That's one
now.
Of the best.
Yeah, no, he's swell.
TMTH, for those of you that don't know, is too much to handle.
I had no idea until yesterday.
Ryan said it on last night's show, by the way. The guys weren't even on last night. It was the girls' night, and Ryan worked it into conversation.
TMTH again?
Yes. Apparently, it is the catchphrase that is sweeping the nation.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Funny.
How many of you take Airborne?
Love it.
Because you've heard that if you're starting to feel a little under the weather, you take that quick enough and it kind of wards off the colds.
Every time I fly.
Yep.
Yeah. Not so much. Not so much.
Works. I swear by it.
That's fine. And it may work, actually. But they've been advertising it kind of like it helps shorten the length of colds or keep them from coming on. Turns out they have no studies to back that up.
Hard to prove that you've prevented a cold. That's a really hard thing to prove.
You're absolutely right. It's hard to prove a negative. But I will tell you that I got frequent colds flying back and forth from, you know, from there to here until I started using the Airborne regularly. And now I use it every single time I fly. And I haven't had one. Haven't gotten off the plane with the big scratchy, you know, throat and feeling sick and everything like I used to every time I flew. So for me, it's worth it, whether it's backed up scientifically or not. My personal experience is that it is successful for me.
But it could be just a mental thing, too.
That's what they say.
It could, yeah.
Understand
absolutely.
How that works? That's weird. But
what is it about flying that makes you so? Is it
that
air pressure?
Recirculated air.
Yeah,
recirculated air with all those people
for several hours.
Thank you.
All the people that are coughing and hacking all their black death up.
Honest to God, I was coming back from, I think it was Cabo over the winter, and there was a guy seriously with black death sitting like 2 seats away.
Excellent.
And he wasn't covering his face, and he was hacking every two minutes, and everyone started moving away.
Good tune.
Someone put a bag over
that's
him or something.
That's what you want to hear on a plane.
Oh, that's so disgusting.
Love that.
And then that.
Oh, sure.
Oh, God.
Dr. Drew on the program today.
Great.
Talking about the season finale of Celebrity Rehab, which is tonight on VH1.
The show's been amazing.
That is a great show.
Yes.
Really like it. And he's good.
Turns out he's really good.
He knows what he's talking about.
I had no idea how good he was.
Also today, Laker flags.
Oh, Mike.
Laker flags.
This is Mike spewing hate.
Which are starting to show up again. And I've been a Laker fan for most of my life. And it bugs me. It really bugs me. It bugs Mike, too. Mike's reason for why it bugs him, it's not connecting with me. I'm not sure why I hate it. I don't hate it, I don't think, for the reason he does. But I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. Why it bugs me.
Well, I don't understand. Oh, we'll get into it later, but there's this argument, basically, that if you're a real fan, you'd never have a flag. And there's no proof of that.
I
want to talk to
Mike
people.
Has a study.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
So we'll talk to people in the 6 o'clock right. hour who have the Laker flag.
Okay,
we want them
good.
To call in, and then we want them to tell us, because Mike is convinced that they can't possibly have been a Laker fan before now.
Yes.
And it's just a bandwagon thing where they're going, hey, this team's successful again. I want to be a part of it. I'm going to get a flag and fly it.
Exactly.
So anyway, I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's what Mike is convinced of. So we'll do all that this morning, and we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next. Since we were just talking about the meeting where the boss tells us stuff he doesn't like, I'd like to repudiate this right off the bat so we can get it taken care of.
Right. 5:45, that's a quarter to six metric. See, that's what brings us down. It's that kind of crap that catches
just
people's
make it
attention.
A little joke, that's all.
Yeah.
Just it takes half a second.
Next time you plan on making a joke, have the following ingredients. A, some sort of humor. B, less retardation.
Though, if he could, I imagine he would.
Work on those two.
5:45, that's a quarter to six metric.
All right.
Hey, Flash, those days are over, okay? Your foot's not loose anymore. Let it go.
It's 5:51 now.
That's not funny.
Oh, come on.
That's 9-6 in Guatemala.
Hey,
what's Guatemala?
It's a combination of Guadalajara and Guatemala. It's a small little city.
Yeah.
Do we need to call intern Charlie Barley, by the way, or do we not have time now?
We probably could. Dial this number right over here, would you?
She's not here yet? Didn't show up. You know how the interns are. You know how shaky each new batch is, and they need some whipping
into
shape.
Mr. Weatherby asked you to elongate the showbiz report?
No. He said more streamlined.
Should be longer.
More focus.
No, but they should be longer, have more extraneous BS in them, right? Is that what he asked for?
That's not what he asked for at all, no.
Oh, so you're going to make this call now?
Yes.
And don't go off into tangents. And
then, this doesn't count on your time, Ralph. And then, this is not part of your time.
And then Mike, Kevin and Bean's
time. Mike can tell us about parking meters.
All our time, though?
Hello?
No.
Hey, Charlie?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Thursday morning.
Where are you?
I left you guys a message, and Alex was,
Really? What did it say,
saying?
Charlie? Saying that I'm not going to make it in because I'm not any better at all.
Oh, she's sick.
Alex,
are you?
She was sick when she was in
really
the last
sick.
Time.
Really
did
sick.
You take NyQuil?
Yeah, I took NyQuil, but...
I can tell. I'm not feeling any better.
This is a mess.
I was on Tuesday.
Well, I'm sorry we called then if you were trying to sleep or something. We didn't know you were still sick. Hey, one quick question, though, Charlie. What did your band members think of the Gooks of Hazzard as a new band name? Did you run it by them?
Oh, they didn't. They really, like, when I passed them over, they thought it was funny, but they're like, oh, we can't take that. Too serious. I was like, oh.
So you said blood fart.
They laughed, and then they're like, oh, they just passed. Along.
They're going to stick with their stupid name over all those great names.
Titans of Fire or whatever the hell it is.
Who was it?
You know, it's really stupid. No, I'm going to talk to them more later. So,
hey, David Hasselhoff, go back to sleep.
Have a burger and promise your daughter you'll never drink again.
All right, Charlie, feel better, okay?
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to sleep in so I can make it on Tuesday, man.
Okay. All right.
Sleep in, shoot for Tuesday. That's a long nap.
Wow. Well, good luck with that. I hope you do.
I'm going to set my sights on getting up on Tuesday, but I can't make any guarantees here on Thursday.
This is why you don't trust the yellow man. What have we been telling you for so long? All right. 5:53, period. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Britney Spears has a new charity.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, she's trying to raise some money for the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, which, by the way, is one of my favorite charities.
Yeah, it's a great
one. You can't watch the commercials for that goddamn hospital without just getting out your checkbook.
Yeah.
Little bald kids all, like, cancered up and whatnot. They need some help.
Yeah.
She is trying to raise money for them by auctioning off a photograph of her with her 10 dance students. Well, that should bring in a pretty penny, Brittany.
This is a current photo?
Yes, they just took a photo of her at her favorite dance studio with 10 of her little girl students, and they're going to auction the photo off. It's going to be a one-time only photographic opportunity for some Britney Spears fan to own.
She topless?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
And then the money's going to go to treating cancer in children.
I wonder who came up with that idea. It can't be her. She doesn't do charity stuff.
No. Maybe it's the dance studio trying to promote their studio. But how much money can a photograph raise?
Yeah, they're everywhere. You can't get away from photographs.
If you want to help kids, stop drinking for a day. Take the money you would spend at a bar and give that to St. Jude Research Hospital. That's got to be like $40,000 right there.
That girl's fat.
Yeah. Speaking of dancing, Julianne Hough, you know her from Dancing with the Stars?
Yep.
No, is she one of the hot instructor people?
She's 18 and smoking hot and blonde.
18?
And ridiculous.
She's a dance instructor?
She's really young.
She was like the champion youth dancer of the world or something.
Wow.
She's got all these titles, and she's really is just a kid. Early, I don't know, maybe 20.
And isn't she one of those super virgins or something, too?
Hey, look at this story about her virginity.
Oh, I didn't know that was
for you. Did Mr. Wedley ask you to shut the F up and let me do my stories? Did that come up in the meeting at all?
I apologize. Didn't know that's what we were talking about.
Julianne Hough, turns out, is an adamant virgin.
Oh,
does
really?
Does that come as a shock
What's
to you?
What's an adamant virgin?
She's serious about it. She is no BS, no wavering on this point.
Well, if you look like her, you would have to be serious about it.
You have to put up the get smart doors in front of your vagina there?
Seriously.
Yeah. She said she will wait until she gets married. There's no negotiating on that.
Wow.
Okay.
She told Cosmo Girl in a recent interview that she's waiting for that special person. I think the choice to have sex before marriage is an individual one, but if you're just with one person, it's the only one good person, and then that's the reason to have sex. It will strengthen the relationship. Just shut up and spread them.
Oh my God.
By the way, Julianne's new partner in the next Dancing with the Stars edition?
Yeah.
Adam Carolla.
Oh, she's his instructor?
Yeah.
Oh,
he'll fix her little virginity issues.
Oh, yeah.
He can take care of that
one. Oh, man. He is like Cary Grant on steroids. That silver tongue devil.
Hey, you want to have sex?
No.
All right.
You know, I honestly didn't know that she was a virgin. I've just seen interviews with her complaining about having to wear a bikini and things like that in photo shoots because she's so modest and everything. She's like, oh, I don't want to show too much, which is just the opposite of most of these girls.
How can I submarine Ralph's story? What do I know about her? Virginity! Just start yelling out random facts. That's the idea. Kirsten Dunst is still in recovery.
Ugly!
Oh, yeah.
Is that your story? I'm sorry.
Hey, look at this. A story about her being ugly in Cirque Lodge. She is spending a lot of time at the Cirque Lodge smoking cigarettes.
Sure.
Which, by the way, when you got teeth like hers,
that's
a double whammy right there.
That isn't good for you.
Taking walks. And apparently she's got a new boyfriend on the inside.
Uh-oh. Everyone hooks up on the inside.
Apparently Cirque Lodge is like a swingers club for alcoholics.
Who knew?
Wow.
Who knew there was so much banging going on there? Yeah, apparently she has a new boyfriend. A rehab boyfriend. You know it's meant to last.
Sure.
Remember, Lindsay Lohan dated Riley Giles while she was in there. Is it Giles or Giles?
I think either.
I don't know. Either or. And Britney Spears was rumored to hooked up with Howie Day while she was at Promises. So apparently rehab's the new place to meet people. So congratulations,
Kirsten. I have to tell my friends.
What a lucky guy he is.
Kirsten Dunst having to see her teeth sober for the first time. That's enough to send you right back to the bottle, isn't it?
No kidding.
Yeah, I feel better. Holy crap! Why didn't somebody tell me? Look in the mirror. Oh, look at that snaggletooth. That can't be. A little recreation of what you went through there for your consideration. And James Bond may soon be a married man. British tabloid The London Sun reports that Daniel Craig and his longtime girlfriend, Satsuki Mitchell, are preparing for a wedding after he finishes filming the latest in the James Bond series, Quantum of Solace.
They're sticking with that, aren't
still
they?
Still the worst goddamn name for a James Bond movie ever. Quantum of Solace sounds like a book that Stephen Hawking wrote.
Yeah,
it does.
Quantum of Solace.
I don't know anything about his fiancée, but she must be hot.
With a name like Satsuki Mitchell, she has to be hot. She sounds like a Bond girl.
It, but yeah. Oh, she is?
No, I said she sounds like a Bond girl.
Oh, right.
Satsuki Mitchell.
Yeah.
She's got to be half and half, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Daniel Craig, when you become a giant movie star and you're James Bond, don't get married! Let me see. Who I can have sex with everyone on the planet, or I can marry Satsuki Mitchell. Look, I don't care how hot she is. It's just one of her. Goddamn Daniel Craig. And, geez, I got so much good stuff. You have to come back next hour because I'm out of time. But I've got stories about the odds on who's going to win American Idol. Mm-hmm. And a very funny American Idol story involving the drowning of children.
Oh, wow.
You're going to like that. We've got some interesting news about Scott Weiland. He was in court yesterday. I'll tell you what happened. And Amy Winehouse gets even uglier.
Oh, no. Yeah. Wow.
So I promise you those will all be entertaining. Stick around. In about an hour, I'll bring you more showbiz news on the Showbiz Beat. Today's celebrity birthdays. TV personality Ed McMahon is 85 years old today.
Wow.
Carson, dead. McMahon?
Yeah.
Still alive.
Running marathons in England, I heard. Yeah. David Gilmour of Pink Floyd?
Yeah.
He's 62 years old today. How good a guitarist is David Gilmour?
Excellent.
When everyone talks about the big rock guitarist, his name is often left off the list, I think, unfairly. He's pretty spectacular. Actor Tom Arnold. I'm sorry, I said actor Tom Arnold.
Did.
Tom Arnold is 49 years old today. Actor-director Rob Reiner turned 61. And our pal D.L. Hughley, who is one of the funniest mofos around, he is 44 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
An hour from now, we're going to talk to Dr. Drew about Celebrity Rehab. They have their season finale tonight on VH1.
Oh, boy.
By the way, I guess we'll ask him. I wonder if they're already lining up celebrities for Celebrity Rehab 2. This one was such a big hit. You know VH1 is going to want to do it again.
Should we give him a list of people that need to be in it?
That's a great idea. As a matter of fact, we will. Well, the election is right around the corner, as you know. I mean, November is just fast approaching.
November 4th is going to seem like tomorrow. Oh, wait. Nope. It's about 3 years from now.
We are going to pick a new president. Is it going to be Senator Barack Obama from Illinois? Is it going to be Senator Hillary Clinton from New York? Or is it going to be Senator John McCain from the great state of Arizona? I'll tell you who thinks it's going to be John McCain is Senator John McCain, who's on the phone with us right now with the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Good morning, Mr. President-to-be.
Turn that music down! Why the hell do you have to play it so loud?
How are you feeling? Much has been made of your age. You're 71. If you win, you'd be the oldest man to ever win a first term in the White House. Do you feel like you've been able to hold up pretty well with the rigors of the campaigning, sir?
Yes. Yes, I do, because I'm able to go to Denny's and get the early bird special.
Right.
And that gives me a lot of energy for the campaign trail.
Okay. So that's your secret?
That and... then a good colonic once in a while.
Sure. Yeah.
Cleans everything out.
Well, you've now won the nomination for the Republicans. You are the candidate. Congratulations.
Thank you. I couldn't be more
pleased?
Happy?
Happy?
Proud? Senator?
Mr. McCain?
Did he
Senator?
Fall asleep?
Senator!
Napalm!
All right, let's talk.
Sorry,
let's,
dozed off there.
Yeah.
Sure. Let's talk about the big day you had yesterday. You had lunch at the White House with President Bush, who was happy to stand at the podium and give you his full support and endorsement. How does
now,
that feel?
Now he does.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I didn't feel that way.
Well, he's running against you. You guys were competitors back then, but now you're on the same team.
He said some horrible things about me.
Like?
Like, that I was a twin at birth, and the unborn twins living on my neck.
I don't think that was ever said.
No?
No, I'm pretty sure I never heard that.
Should have been. It's funny.
He, he did, though, try to sink you, if I remember, in South Carolina by calling people at home and saying that you had adopted a black kid or something like that. He was trying to get people to not vote for you because of your adopted daughter.
Yes, he said that I was Mr. Drummond from Different Strokes.
No, he didn't say that.
He said I had two young black boys in my house.
But that's politics, though. One day your enemies, the next day you unite against the common enemies. So yes, now he wants you to win the White House.
Yes, he does, and I'm happy to have his support. Of course, having him alongside me just will bring me nothing but thoughts of a horrible war that we can't win and the economy being in the dumper and everyone hating him. Well, thanks a lot, George!
There is a little of that going on, sure.
Carries a little baggage. Yeah. Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It does. But I mean, you need all the votes of all the Republicans, no matter how conservative they are. You know, you need those people to vote for you if you hope to beat whoever's running on the Democratic side.
Not only that, I need some votes from people who aren't Republicans.
Okay.
Like the blacks.
Well,
and the browns.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the lesbionics.
Lesbians.
And the homo sapiens. I need all of them.
Okay.
So I'm going to widen my campaign to be more inclusive.
How are you going to do that?
Say, vote for me, goddammit! Don't make me turn this election around! I will pull over!
Senator, do you have a preference now that you're the man on the GOP side? Does it matter to you who you're going to be running against? Would you rather compete against Senator Clinton or Senator Obama?
I'd rather... No, it doesn't matter to me.
Doesn't matter, okay.
If they got a woman or a black fellow, and either way, I'm screwed.
Why?
Because there's a lot of women.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of black people.
Right.
Right, but there's a lot of white people, too, though.
Most of my contemporaries are dead.
Well.
So who's going to vote for me? People from the grave?
No, probably not.
Didn't say so.
Do you have an idea who is going to run as your vice president yet? You must be thinking about that.
I've been giving it careful consideration.
Okay.
And I'm thinking Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon?
Well, really?
He was a great sidekick for Johnny all those years.
That's a little different than vice president.
I'd come out and give my State of the Union address, and he'd be like, ho, 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 ho. He'd be laughing at me and for me.
Yeah.
And then we, hi-oh! Like that sound. Either him or Jefferson.
Jefferson.
Yes.
Who's Jefferson?
He was the third president of the United States.
Oh, that Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, it's time to bring him back.
Well, I don't think that's...
He's been out of the game for too long, in my opinion.
He's been dead, sir.
What?
Sorry,
I gotta pick up a paper.
You. Yes, you do.
I've got a question for our little friend Psycho Mike, if you'll permit me.
Sure. Okay.
Why do you hate?
I don't hate. I'm a little upset, that's all.
You're a Laker fan, and you're hating on other Laker fans because they choose to express their fandom differently than how you do.
You're right. You know, I've thought about it. I've given it a lot of thought. And I'm a little more even-keeled about the Laker flags today, but I still hate them, and I want them all to be burned in a pit like disco records at a Detroit Tigers game.
It's a good reference.
Okay.
I think it was the White Sox.
I'm a Laker fan as well, and when I see those flags, it bugs me.
I do not understand either of you. I can't get the whole bugging thing.
But I can't put my finger on why. I don't know why.
For me,
I've heard Mike try to explain why it is for him. Go ahead.
Tell you,
and then we're going to take calls from people who have flags, have Laker flags, and we want to talk to you about this so we can figure out what the hell's going on. Yes, Mike.
It's a three-prong deal for me why I hate them. One is I hate any type of kind of car decoration. I don't like bumper stickers. I don't like things dangling from the window.
Right,
I just think
just
it's stupid. Yeah, yeah. In general, I hate them.
How do you feel about the little jack-in-the-box antenna balls?
Exactly. You might as well have a muskrat tail on your antenna. I mean,
those
it's just stupid.
Good.
Then also, they're a cheaply made and ugly product. I mean, they're just stupid. They're bad looking. They're not a good product.
Okay.
And third is that they seem to have developed right after Derek Fisher's Western Conference impossible .04 shot.
Right.
And after that, when the Lakers were – they looked like things were down and out, and somehow miraculously they turned it around, and then they were going to run, and they were going to get this – they were going to be on a championship run again. And people are like, oh, let's all be Laker fans again. And somewhere out of nowhere, these stupid flags that we had never seen before, as opposed to shirts and hats and posters, they just developed, and they came out of nowhere. And so people started to – wear these flags or use these flags on their car, when the Lakers seemed to be on a championship run. As the Lakers went on to get demolished by the Detroit Pistons,
right,
Laker flags disappeared. Shaq got traded. There's chaos within the Laker camp. Laker flags nowhere to be
when
found.
When you're fighting, but this makes sense to me. When you're fighting for the eighth playoff spot, you know what I mean, for eighth place, just to make the playoffs, not that good a
support
year. I know. I hear you. But you can kind of understand why when it's better, people are more excited,
sure.
I guess.
Support for the Lakers is obviously, support for any team is going to fluctuate, you know, with how good they're doing. But T-shirts, jerseys,
sure,
things like that seem to always be around, even when the Lakers are fighting for the eight
seed. No, that's
seed, even
true.
When the Lakers
those
are fighting. Now, just since the beginning of February of this year, Lakers signed Pau Gasol. They win, you know, 90% of their games. They're crushing people left and right. Everybody's happy with, you know, the Lakers and the Lakers organization. All of a sudden,
flags
Laker
come out.
Flags everywhere all over the freeways.
Okay, why don't you think that that those people that have those flags are the hardcore fans as well, but there's more to celebrate now, so they put the flag on? Why do you think it's a bandwagon thing where they're probably non-fans doing it?
Because,
I don't understand.
Like I said, because they only seem to be, I mean, they sell them year-round. I know they sell them at those, like, L.A. Pro stores, too. But they also just start to show up everywhere. The prevalence of them is increased amazingly.
Right.
Whereas, you know, other stuff doesn't seem to fluctuate
that
much.
Shirts and stuff, I mean, you just wear those because that's something to wear. I think it stops being about support
not long after
you buy it.
Oh, I
do. People wear those jerseys just to put something on.
No,
well, I don't think
so at
all.
I wouldn't wear a Clipper shirt if someone gave it to me for free.
No. I mean, you have to obviously like the Lakers, but I don't think that they're wearing it just to support the team. They also just like wearing jerseys. And so they have jerseys from their favorite teams and they wear them.
And I'm not saying everybody that has one isn't a fan. I'm saying that seems to be because of the way that, you know, they're marketed and because of, you know, when they show up and when they don't. That seems to be the number one souvenir of the bandwagon fan. And that's why I hate them.
A fair weather fan, too. All right, let's take
your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, is this Alex in Marina Del Rey?
Yes, it's Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Alex, you have how many flags?
I have four of them.
Four flags, okay.
Yeah, so what happens is that I bought them all when Shaq was here in 2007, but I used to put them on my car, but then they would get used and torn, so I would take them down. I put another one back on. Now when the Kobe era and Shaq era left or whatever, I would not wear them or not put them on my car. But now that they're winning, of course, I put them back on my car. I'm going to have to buy more flags because they're going to get worn and torn. I'm not a bandwagoner. I've been a fan since 88. And I love the Lakers.
Do you watch most of the games?
I watch every single game. I watch it on my computer because I got the Sling Box. So mm-hmm. I watch whenever I can. I listen to it on the radio. And Phil Myers and everybody, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, but you just said you only put them up now that the Lakers have started winning again.
I mean,
we have to
replace them constantly.
Yeah,
otherwise.
Exactly. I got to replace them. They'll get worn and torn. You know, by the time 4 or 5 months rolls by, I have half a flag. So that doesn't look good.
Do other people seem to not like the flag?
Oh, yeah. Well, then they love the flag, but when it's torn, it's not good.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, do other people seem to be bugged by you having the flag?
Not at all. Not that I know. Every time I go to a gas station, they always compliment me and go Lakers or something like that.
Bug me? I really don't know.
Okay, so Alex is a real fan.
All right. Thank you, Alex.
He should get a pass from you, right, Psycho Mike?
No.
I mean, he sounds like a dedicated, hardcore, full-time Laker fan for 20 years.
No.
Besides not have a flag?
You can't just say no. That's how I argue.
I know. I mean, it seems to work, though.
1-800-
I can admit, it's pretty cool.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with people who have Laker flags and fly them, and we'll figure out what the hell it is that bugs us about it next.
Talking about the Laker flags that you see this time of year, anytime it gets close to the playoffs, Psycho Mike, who hates them,
yep,
is really... I don't know that he's explained to me why he hates them. I've heard his reasons. I've heard the words that have come out of his mouth, but I don't think I still fully understand why it is he hates them. And that's why we're taking calls from people right now who have the Laker flags, and maybe something will come out of that conversation that will enlighten me.
I hate them too, but I can't put my finger on why. I think it's because when a team is doing poorly, it really sucks. I mean, it really blows. Like, I'm a Kings fan, Los Angeles Kings. Not having a good season, not going to make the playoffs. Already know that. It blows.
Right.
So I think you get the idea that the people that suffer through the bad times
are not the people that are putting up the flags.
Exactly. Would you be okay if they had the everyone had their flags out all the time?
Yes.
During the season?
I think
so.
Then
you'd be okay with the flags?
I think so.
I still hate the flags even if people wore flew them all the time.
Because you hate flags.
No, and they're those particular flags are tawdry, right. And they make the Lakers look bad because
they're
stupid.
And they're not well made.
And they're disgusting and they're ugly and they make me want to puke in my mouth. But they say what you want about Raider fans. Raider fans always got their Raider stuff up all the time. And they've won like 6 games in the last 45 seasons. Raider fans, you know, the Lakers could take a page out of their book. These flags, they come up only when the Lakers are on winning streaks, especially when they're on their way to winning a championship. And by the way, they're dumb. Don't fly
your flags. Are dumb.
Take your flag and shove it up your ass because they're ugly and they make the purple and gold look bad.
All right, let's go to Matt in Corona. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Okay. Good. Laker flags. You have one?
Yeah, I've got a little assortment. Other than Mike being a douchebag, it's it's something for my daughters. When I take them to the game, you know, they get all hyped up about it. We put it on the car, and it's a way of identification, I guess. You know, when you're going across town, and me being in the 909, I got to drive out to L.A., and I see other cars, you know. It's kind of cool to...
So you put it on your car only when you're going to a game?
Usually when I'm going to a game, you know, okay. It kind of identifies when I'm going.
But we can understand, too, people who can't go to the game. It's not easy to get a Laker ticket. Right. It can be expensive.
It's expensive.
There's diehard Laker fans that have never been
never
to a game
gone,
and probably
right.
never will. That has nothing to do with it. I'm just saying those are stupid. The $2 you spent on that flag would have been better served to buy something else. Those little beaters, those things you boom, boom, boom. Take those together. Go around in public places. Hit them together. Support the Lakers.
But what's the downside if there's a feeling on the street driving down the road or whatever that there's a lot of support in town for the team? I mean, the team lives here, for God's sakes. Don't you think it makes them feel good to drive around and see all those Laker flags? Make you think, hey, the town is behind us. We've got some support?
There is. If it wasn't bad support. Let me. You know, remember the Livestrong bands?
Yes. Yeah.
Lance Armstrong started it, and it seemed to be a good thing, and it represented something that was great. And everybody. But then there came the knockoff cheap Livestrong wannabe bootleg bands,
100 of them kinds,
and it destroyed the whole purpose and meaning behind the Livestrong, and it made Livestrong itself look bad. That's what happens when you get these Chinese made horrible sweatshop crap ass flags and put them on your car.
All right, let me ask you a question though, because
leave those to the Clippers, okay, because they deserve it. They deserve to have that level
of
product.
Let me ask you a question.
What
if the flag was super high quality? You'd be fine with it?
If it was big, if it was laced in diamonds, if it was making it rain everywhere it went, I'd do it. I'm down with that.
What if they were $100 each and they only sold them at Kitson? Then you'd love it.
No.
Let's go to Alfredo in Southgate. Good morning, Alfredo.
All right, maybe.
Hi.
Hi there.
Look, I called yesterday and I guess I started this whole debate.
Son of a bitch.
Oh,
yeah, you're the guy
who
brought it up yesterday.
It.
Yeah, and you know what? I think Mike is wrong about this.
Of course he is.
Because either way you see it, I mean, he has to support. We have to support our teams, whether it's getting a tattoo, getting a shirt, you know, rocking jerseys all day or whatever. It's going to be a good thing for us.
Yeah, I don't think he has a problem with that. It's just that the flags go away and only come out when they're on a run to the championship, and that seems like a fair weather fan to him and
me,
I think.
Alfredo, I agree with you. Look, being a Laker fan, and even if you're a fair weather fan, you're still better than the average human, and you're higher on the food chain because you're a Laker fan. And I love all Laker fans, and that's great. I'm trying to voice my opinion as a Laker fan that we should band together and get rid of these horrible, horrible, horrible flags because it doesn't bode well for us as Laker fans. I'm like the Chinese citizen that says, hey, stop it with eating dog. Okay? It makes us look bad. We got a great culture. Why do we have to ruin it? We besmudge our people with these horrible, horrible acts. That's what
Let's
these Laker fans
to,
are about.
Mike in Chino. He's online too. He only brings out his flags for the playoffs, and he sounds like the kind of guy you're talking about here, Mike. Mike, meet Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, I have one flag, and I own a flag during the playoffs because it is a little cheesy, and if you put it on your truck or your car and you drive around with it all the time, it does get torn up. But I'm a Laker fan. I mean, I watch just about every single game, and, you know, Stu Lance is a total tool.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You know, you know, but wait, what about the Angels? I saw the Angel flags, you know, people sporting their Angel flags. I saw people sporting Duck flags.
Yeah, the two bootleg crap organizations that should stay where they are. They deserve it. They deserve it with their track homes and their whack-ass strip malls out there in New Orange County, okay? Back where we have some heritage here in the 323, we don't fight flags. That's what should happen.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Souvenir of choice.
All right.
You know, here's what puzzles me about this as we wind down this topic is that I'm a huge Seattle Mariners fan, as you guys know. That's my favorite team. I mean, I like the Seahawks. There are other teams I like, but I love the Mariners. They're my favorite team.
Okay.
And I'm thrilled every time I see any kind of representation for the Mariners. If a guy's got a sign in his business, I love that. If somebody's wearing a t-shirt, I love that. If there's a Mariners flag, I love that. Just because I support the team and I'm happy to see them popular. I want, as far as I'm concerned, there's room on the bandwagon, if you want to call that, for everybody. I wish everybody were a big fan of that team because I love that team and want them to be successful and want them to be popular.
You know what it might be? You know what it might be? It might be that it's just too much. Like you're trying too hard to be a uber fan.
Right.
Because a flag is something that really stands out different than normal. It's not a shirt. It's not a hat. It's like a, hey, everyone, look at me. I'm a fan. Maybe that's what. I don't know.
What you're doing is promoting the Lakers, though.
Yeah, but
you love the Lakers. How can you not be glad?
You got a milkshake
straw with a 3x3 piece of nylon that was handmade in China attached to the top of your car, waving away. We've already had 5 calls from people who are like, well, I would leave it up, but they fall apart after I drive 6 miles. I mean, doesn't that just go to show you what type of product we're talking about?
So, again, your problem with these is mainly the quality.
And the look and the fact that you look like a douche. What I'm saying is the Lakers, more wins than any other organization.
Right.
You know, a lot of championships racked up. Some of the greatest players of all time.
And a lot of people choose to show their support with these flags.
Are the true G's of the NBA. A dynasty. And we don't need to be walking around having our people represent the purple and gold with crap products! That's what I'm saying.
Well, you've what lost we this need one. To this do... is a losing battle you're fighting right now.
All right,
Michael.
Someone here, a God-fearing American, probably a veteran, is listening to me right now, and he's going to make a high-quality flag. Something that is chiffon, maybe, that you could drape your car in.
That's worthy
of the Lakers insignia, the worthy of the purple and gold. And if that happens, then I'll get off my high horse and stop bitching about the flags.
Boo, right. Mike's gone, bye-bye.
I'm sorry, what was your last word?
Booyaka.
Got Dr. Drew coming up just after the top of the hour talking about celebrity rehab. And also that airborne, not going to keep you from getting a cold.
Aww. That stuff works every single time, I swear by it. I guess we're going to talk to the guy who's actually involved in the litigation that's now forcing Airborne to pay over $23 million to people who believe that it actually would stop colds, right?
Yeah, goddamn vitamins that are good for you. How dare you sell us that? Give me some money back. You made me healthier. I hate you.
All of that coming up, and details soon on how to score your VIP trip to the Coachella Music and Arts Festival. It's 6:53 Thursday morning. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, dude?
This product is nothing but a bunch of vitamins that are good for you. I want my revenge.
It does seem like they kind of got him on a technicality, but we'll get the whole story next half hour.
Stop with the suing, for God's sakes. Everyone's suing. Sue, studio. American Idol last night. Oh, the girls were just rocking it.
Yeah.
Not so much. But still.
Didn't watch.
You didn't watch?
No.
Oh, Kevin.
Ralph, you're going to hate me for this, but your girlfriend Christy Lee and your other girlfriend Katie?
No, they both blew.
I don't think either one of them will be long for this competition.
Oh, now I'm in.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I know you like them.
Here's the thing about the voteforthewurst.com, too.
Yeah.
Never have they succeeded ever.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't mean they shouldn't stop trying.
It doesn't mean they should stop trying.
Sorry.
Still, it's got to be frustrating after a while. If your whole life's dedicated to getting the worst person to win and they don't ever win, you're getting crushed by the other people who are not seeing things your way.
Not a lot of payoff, maybe.
Yeah. Part of the problem is, no matter how popular that website gets, voteforthewurst.com, it's always going to be dwarfed by the tens of millions of people who are playing it legit.
Yeah. You know, they have this thing called dialidol.com.
No, I don't know what that is.
This is a website that basically measures the rejected calls when the idol voting starts.
Oh, to see how many people were calling for real?
To see whose lines are the busiest. So those people are getting the majority of the votes.
I see.
You can sort of, you know, retrograde. You can kind of gauge who's easy to get through. Those people probably aren't getting a lot of votes. And so they said that this week, the only person who seems to be safe is this David Archuleta.
Who's that?
He's like a 17-year-old kid with this amazing voice who does really well.
Gay kid?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay.
But Bean hates him because he's really good.
Mm. Yeah.
And
He's just too aw shucks, gee whiz, I can't believe I'm here, yet he's the kid who won Star Search and has
tons
of experience.
Just because you're successful doesn't mean you have to be a douchebag, Bean.
I don't want him to be a douchebag, but I think he's acting. I think it's all acting for the camera.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, he's the odds-on favorite, according to BowDogLife.com, to win Idol this year. He's going off at 8-11. Better than the favorite. Michael Johns, Bean's man crush, is 9-1. Then Carly Smithson, the Irish chick, is the first of the girls in the competition to be listed in the top three.
She hot?
She's pretty.
She's attractive.
Okay.
A little beefy. And she's got a sleeve. I'm not into the sleeve tattoo look.
Oh, okay.
No, in terms of a wizard sleeve, she's got just a sleeve of tattoos. She owns her own tattoo shop, I think in San Diego or someplace.
Okay.
But killer voice.
All right.
And Remile Malube.
Yeah.
Oh, Remile's good people.
Yeah. She's very good.
I don't know who she is.
Who
ran Chinese little Filipino.
Kept calling Remile, which I thought was fun. She's 13-1 odds, so we'll have to wait and see. But here's a great story where people are saying, here's how American Idol is causing the downfall of modern society.
Oh, good. I'm with them.
Apparently, a 25-year-old mother in Indianapolis almost let her kids drown in the bathtub because she forgot they were bathing.
What the hell?
She put a 3-year-old boy and a 1-year-old girl in a bathtub together, surrounded by 9 inches of water, went into the other room to grab some clothes, but the TV was turned on to American Idol, and she sat down and started to watch.
Oh, no.
Forgetting that her kids were in the bathtub.
Oh, God.
She rushed back into the room after a while and found the 3-year-old submerged in the water, called 911. Performed CPR. Apparently, both of the kids are fine. But here's the thing, and I don't think you can really blame it on American Idol.
I can.
Can you?
Mm-hmm.
When the cops arrived, they found a mountain of pot and some scales in the living room. So it may not have been all American Idol's fault as to why the kids were endangered.
Yeah, well, that
yeah,
could be.
That might cause a little forgetfulness, too.
That's just not good.
Yeah. American Idol and pot, bad combination.
What about the names of the kids in that story, Ralph?
Yes, it's Sirius and Serena.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying you can say what type of person, or let's say what religion,
right,
or maybe race.
Oh, those blacks.
Or creed. Someone is by the names of their children.
You can tell, usually.
But Sirius and Serena?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Just guessing. I don't know.
You can tell.
I'm not familiar with the Indianapolis area. I'm not sure what kind of cultural makeup it has. I'm just saying. Put down the pot.
Well, I'm sure they were voting for Saisha or Asia with an H.
Oh, will you stop? This is Amy Winehouse. She's the best.
Yeah.
They just published her contract rider. You know the contract riders where you make a contract to perform at a venue and then, in addition to your salary, you get to put in the contract what your perks are, what your ancillary needs are in terms of what you want in your dressing room.
Sometimes they're outrageous stuff, which is always fun.
Amy's is not outrageous, but it is consistent with what we know about her. In her contract rider, she must have 1 large bottle of vodka, 2 large bottles of Jack Daniels, 2 large bottles of red wine, 1 case of beer,
yeah,
1 large bottle of champagne, 4 cans of Red Bull, 2 packs of Marlboro Reds, 4 lighters, and lots of chips and salsa.
Wow.
Sort of a low-rent rider, but yet still consistent.
Do they
with
have
what
to cut up lines of Coke on the table, too,
does
before
not
she gets
mention,
there?
She would like several drinking straws cut into 3-inch sections, so I don't know what that means.
And a mirrored coffee table.
Yes. Yes. She would like a concert mirror with Lynyrd Skynyrd embossed on it in some sort of paint that comes in a frame that you win at a fair.
Yeah. She's not doing herself any favors.
And a cage full of angry ferrets.
What?
I just added that for the hell of it. And the John Tesh collection, oddly enough. Every
really?
CD John Tesh ever made, which I found surprising.
That is odd.
More Amy news. She's got worse facial issues than her impetigo.
Oh, no. How can there be some worse?
Well, you know, I mentioned earlier, was it this week or last week? Anyway, she's got the impetigo,
yes,
which is a bacterial infection of the skin, which causes large sores.
Right. That's
which,
not bad enough?
Which, when you touch and scratch, will spread the sores around your body to various sections.
That's not good.
And considering where she must scratch,
yeah,
can you imagine where she's got the sores?
Yes. Yes.
Well, let's point out, if she had taken the airborne tablets, by the way, wouldn't have that.
She'd be fine.
Sure.
Yep.
British tabloid reports that she's on a new self-mutilation kick, and now is...
Now what?
What?
Yes. Yes, Ralph.
And now what?
And now is putting her cigarette out on her face.
Oh, come on. She's not putting her cigarette out on her face.
Well, I think everything's cool.
Ralph just fell off his chair. She's not putting her cigarettes out on her face.
Sources say Amy was asked three times to put out a cigarette at a London restaurant where she was dining because the diners and the staff were complaining. So she took the cigarette and stubbed it out in her cheek.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
That's so hot.
No.
Witnesses say they saw several other burns of similar shape on her face.
Oh, my God.
She'll show them.
Woo.
Dude.
You know what? I'm not quite ugly enough. What can? Wait a minute. I've got a cigarette here.
How can I ugly myself up more?
Oh, that's better. And it killed the impetigo.
In that little tiny
area.
In
that spot. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor D.L. Hughley. He is 44 years old today, and he's funny.
Funny dude.
Tom Arnold turns 49 years old today. Rob Reiner, actor and director, is 61. David Gilmour of Pink Floyd turns 62 years old today. And Ed McMahon, who for many years was a sidekick on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. He is 85 years old today. Still waiting for that big check, Ed.
Sure.
Still waiting for you to knock on my door. Yeah. Waiting for the prize patrol. Yeah.
Not going to happen.
No?
Remember when Bean does that every year? He makes sure he's home and all that?
And he mails in his sweepstakes ticket, thinking they're going to show up at his house.
He does.
Yes!
Sad.
It's tragic. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Which one of these doesn't fit, Kevin, who has a big hit show on VH1? Brett Michaels from Poison, Flavor Flav, Salt and Peppa, Scott Baio, or Dr. Drew Pinsky?
Salt and Peppa?
Nope. Dr. Drew is actually the answer we're looking for. Celebrity Rehab is on tonight at 10 o'clock on VH1, and this is the finale, the last show before the reunion, which is going to be next week, and we have been following it with great interest all season long and are happy to welcome Dr. Drew back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, gentlemen.
So it's finally here, man. Tonight's the night.
This is it. The moment you've been waiting for. I like the fact that I don't fit in at VH1. That feels good.
But your show's a big hit, and we were talking about this earlier. Does this mean that you're now scouring the country for new celebrities for Celebrity Rehab 2?
There's talk about it, and the scouring really went on last time. This time is going to be a little less scouring, a little more choosiness, I suspect.
Oh, they're coming out of the woodwork now?
Yeah, I suspect. I mean, I really didn't know for sure. I mean, it's up to VH1. But and I think I told you guys last time, you know, as with last time, I wouldn't be involved in the process, because if I see somebody sick, I have to treat him right then. You know what I mean?
Right.
I
can't can't help pick the celebrities.
I can't say, hey, wait till you know August and we start shooting.
Yeah,
you know, I got to treat him right then.
You need to do just one episode of the show just with Brittany. Just that's it. Just you and Brittany.
Oh yeah, and we'd have to construct a team of hundreds.
And she's trying to get out, you know, and you're hanging onto her ankle and. She's pulling you out the door.
It'd be such a pleasure.
That'd be such fun, right?
So much fun. Thank you.
You know what's been really interesting, Doctor, and I know that you have done you know, more than your share of promoting this program across all television channels in recent weeks, but you still run into a lot of the same questions with people who don't understand why these celebrities are on the show or how you're able to help them on television. I did see you on The View this week, yeah. They were just shocked by that. But, I mean, you point out, and I think you make such a great point, is you had, it seems like, a higher success rate with this group than you do in a normal group of just regular people, right?
We absolutely did. When you see the reunion show, first of all, you'll see what happens tonight on the graduation, where they make some amazing and surprisingly good choices. And after going through a lot of hell, I mean, they really unraveled toward the end of treatment, which, as people often do.
Now, the Baldwin kid is gone, though, right?
He's gone. He does not come back to the reunion.
Conaway, gone?
No. Well, he's left at the time of graduation, but he's back for the reunion.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it's an interesting thing. He's all these people, really, they did such an amazing job. They threw themselves into it. They feel sort of the weight of being an inspiration to other people. They want to do well. They're all engaged to some degree or another in some real transformational processes. And, yeah, they did far better than average. Having the cameras there held them accountable. The fact that they were motivated to be there because they wanted to get paid, they wanted to be on TV, I don't care what motivated them. They threw themselves into treatment.
Right.
They got good treatment, and they did well.
Hmm. Let's talk about Jeff Conaway for just a sec, because Ralph did a story last week on the Showbiz Report that indicated that maybe he had gone a Scientology route. Do they have some sort of a treatment program that maybe is different from what you do?
Oh yeah.
It's a Narconon.
Yeah, what did they do? Yeah.
I don't know. But I first of all, I don't want to be too critical of them. A, because I don't want to be found hung in my bathroom.
Right.
Because I'm kidding, of course.
Sure.
Yeah,
of course.
Sure. Anyway, but B, I don't argue with people that are struggling. Here's the deal. You know, it's interesting. I, you know, as a physician, you're held to a very rigorous standard, and you can't experiment. You can't do anything that doesn't have an evidence basis to it. The Narconon could try anything. Maybe they'll come up with something. I don't know. Maybe they'll come up with something worthwhile.
Well, the story was Conaway met up with some Scientologists, and he's now completely turned his back on drugs because of Narconon.
Okay, totally wrong.
That's what I thought.
Really?
Travolta sent over some sort of Scientology practitioner who has been very supportive, but Jeff is still on opiates. You'll see at the reunion show. We tried to get him to go to treatment that night. He made a commitment to go. He needs to get off drugs. I see no evidence that Scientology has done anything for him yet.
Okay.
And, he's talking to somebody every day, but I think he's just, you know, wishful thinking.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Drew is on the line. Of course, we're talking about Celebrity Rehab with a new episode tonight at 10 on VH1. I know there's a lot of stuff that they filmed that doesn't make the TV, Dr. Drew. I have to ask you this. Look, every woman I know wants to bang Dr. Drew. He is considered the hottest, the sexiest, the smartest guy on television. You guys will back me up on that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I find him supremely attractive.
Well, that's good that Kevin and Beam wants you anyway.
But I guarantee your wife does, Kevin. I guarantee.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Here's my question. Brigitte Nielsen, Mary Carey, Jessica Sierra, China,
let's leave China off the list.
All of them tried to get a piece of the Drew, right?
Well, you know, this actually comes up in the reunion show a little bit, and some of that came up during the show, didn't go to TV, and that's my job, is to hold that boundary while they become frustrated and angry and whatever. You know, they usually manipulate their way into whatever they want, and my job is just to hold the boundary. I wrote that book, Cracked, about exactly this very experience, about what people who have trauma histories do to, if they're women, what they do to men, and how that feels as a physician to hold that boundary. Because exactly what they need is somebody that doesn't respond to that crap.
That's a book for people who haven't heard about that. It's called Cracked, Putting Broken Lives Together Again, A Doctor's Story.
Someone like Mary Carey, what you're suggesting is that she's attractive and has huge fake boobs, so she can pretty much manipulate any situation just by showing them. And you basically are the one who puts up the big stop sign and says, no, that's not the way to live your life.
Right, and they don't like that at first many times. But after time, they sort of learn to manage their frustration and deal with things at a more real level, a more genuine level, and they're happy for it. It's an interesting struggle to have to go through, but you'll see it. I think you'll see it in the reunion show. But you bring up an interesting point about what hits the cutting room floor, so to speak. And we film 24/7, cameras in every room. There are like 30 cameras. And the interesting thing is, you're going to find this kind of interesting, is that, you know, we made special efforts to protect the 11th tradition of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is you don't really talk about 12-step on TV. So we did tons of 12-step work, and fortunately, most of it was deemed too boring. And in fact, all the treatment part of treatment was deemed too boring.
Oh,
right.
Really?
And, you know, and that's in fact the case. Treatment, you know, when people say that people are doing treatment on TV, you know, like Dr. Phil and stuff, that's not treatment. Treatment itself is really boring. What you're seeing on Celebrity Rehab is their interpersonal conduct, their stories, you know, their reveals about what their struggles have been. But the actual treatment part, too boring.
Interesting. Hey, Drew, I have a question that I don't think I've ever heard anyone ask you before, although I'm sure they have. Have you ever experimented with any kind of drugs in your life?
Well, certainly alcohol. And beyond that, I've got a rule that I'm going to apply that I apply to my kids, which is not every question needs to be answered here. And I'm only doing that because of my kids, honestly. Once they're 20, I'll be happy to answer all questions.
Okay. The reason I asked that question is because of the piece of tape that's been floating around on K-Rock this week.
Yeah. I'm going to play it, and then we're going to ask you again the drug question. Here we go.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy. Music cues, our sues, our views, our cues, on twos, on cues, at you zoo, my kizzer, you zizzer, I z. It's all kizzer, it's always like it's kizzer, it's always like my sound, wazee, wazoom, zoom, z.
Okay, drugs, Dr. Drew, again.
Okay, well, A, that was, you know, in the days of Adam Carolla when I was being put up to all kinds of things. B, well, obviously I've done mushrooms, obviously.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what it sounds like.
I got to tell you, Dr. Drew, I told you off the air when you came in that Celebrity Rehab really depressed me.
Yeah.
The first episode, and you said, hang in there, it'll get infinitely more interesting. And I did, and now I'm like a junkie for your show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's really amazing.
I think, Kevin, the payoff will be at the reunion. I was so inspired by these people. I really, honestly, it's moving to see them, the struggle, the reality of the struggle, the day-in, day-out struggle that they have to go through, and the fact that they're making it and doing it and taking it very seriously. I just can't say enough about the bravery and the seriousness with which this group took this, even though you're seeing all their BS,
right?
You know, like any addict in treatment, they struggle.
Sure, sure. And hopefully the goal is it'll educate people to something about the rehab process. And maybe there's somebody out there who thinks, wow, I need this, and they'll get the help that they need. And I know that's what your ultimate goal is.
That's the ultimate goal, just to raise awareness. I actually had a meeting at the United Nations yesterday because they called me in because of this show.
Me too.
But the point is that really people are understanding this is an international problem and that they want to figure out ways to deal with this. And this is helping open eyes.
Well, last question. I know you're out of time. What is the most asked question of you about this show?
It's sort of the Barbara Walters question the other day, which is, what? How did this happen? How did you get these people? How did they consent to this? And, you know, the answers, we've already gone through it even today, you know, which is that some of them were down and out. They really needed treatment. Some of them just wanted to be on TV, but they did need treatment, and people around them wanted to get them involved. And when they got there, I don't really think they really fully understood what they were getting into, although they consented. They thought they kind of understood at least what they were getting into from a consent standpoint. And once they found out it was the real thing, they threw themselves into it.
Well, it's a terrific show, Celebrity Rehab, tonight with the finale, and then the reunion is next week. That's Thursday nights at 10 o'clock on VH1. Dr. Drew, always great to talk to you, my friend.
Anytime. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Bye now.
Why was Dave, the King of Mexico, so happy? Why was he jumping up and down when this news came out about the airborne product, Kevin? What was his involvement in that story?
I don't know. He just started babbling something about it being stupid. I think he was
mocking it as not being a product that worked or something.
I think he got
upset. Swearing by it for years.
I think he got upset when people were saying, oh, it's helping you not get a cold, blah, 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 because he doesn't believe that that's possible.
Alex takes it whenever we fly, and he would tell her, don't do it. It's stupid. Don't take it.
Yeah, well, that's dumb.
It works, though. This airborne, if you haven't heard about it, it's basically vitamins and herbs. And what you do is you take it, for instance, I used to get, flying back and forth from Washington to California, I used to a lot of times end up getting off the plane with a scratchy throat and feel a cold coming on. So I started taking the airborne, and it has not happened to me one time since then. So to me, that's a track record of success. To me, that works. Well, now the story's in the news that there's nothing to it, that it's all in my head, and I can't figure that out. I need to find out more about that.
We have Steve Gardner, who is he works for CSPI, which is the Center for Science in the Public Interest. He's the litigation director. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Airborne is false advertising.
It's false advertising because it doesn't work.
Is it because it doesn't work or because it hasn't been proven scientifically?
Well,
it's a good question.
Little of both. And before you sell a product, whether it's a drug or a car or a microwave, you have to know that it will do what you tell people it will do.
Okay. And they were claiming cures and or prevents colds. That was their main line of
advertising.
And that one, all the science in the world shows is untrue. There's nothing to support a claim that any of the ingredients in Airborne or that Airborne itself will prevent or cure the cold.
Did they do studies that they have that prove it does?
They bought one.
They bought a study.
Not a particularly good one.
What does that mean?
They paid a couple of guys to do a study.
A couple of dudes? Just a couple of guys?
Were they scientists?
No. They may have played one on TV.
Were they doctors?
It was not a valid study. And at best, you don't make claims, and you don't, more importantly, sell millions of dollars worth of a product based on one jackleg story.
But Steve, tell me this. How do you ever prove that something prevents colds?
You test it using scientists who don't have a dog in the hunt, people who are unbiased.
But how can you tell? No, I understand that, but still.
But how do you prove a negative? If I get off a plane and I don't get a cold, how do I know whether I wouldn't have got a cold anyway or if I didn't get it because I used Airborne?
As Bones used to say to Kirk on the old Star Trek, damn it, Jim, I'm a lawyer, not a scientist.
Yeah, you don't know.
I don't think there's any way.
How they structure it, I do leave to the scientists. I can read a study and tell whether it works. One of the ways is what's called a longitudinal study, where they study people over years, and they can say this group of people took Airborne, and they had a higher incidence of colds. You can get a lot of data from those, and there are several going on generally.
Now Airborne.
But, the problem is that it is proving a negative.
Yeah.
I don't get colds when I get off a plane, and that's Folgers, I guess, could brag about it. I have coffee before I get on.
All right, now they're agreeing to settle this lawsuit. They're settling for $23.3 million, right?
And then some, but yes.
Okay,
they're paying for advertising, administering the claims, getting checks out to people, all of that.
All right, let me ask you this question, because Bean still swears by Airborne. He still believes that it works. Is it Is it possible that they just didn't prove it, so they shouldn't have claimed it, but that it still works? Or are there studies out there that say it doesn't work?
There are no studies that say airborne doesn't work. There are plenty of studies that show that the ingredients in airborne do not have the claimed effect. Which means it doesn't. There are the studies, it's vaguely possible that the combination of ingredients could have an effect that is not present in the individuals acting alone.
Right.
Individual ingredients, but it's equally possible that even if you took an ingredient that worked and added in a bunch of other crud, that would cancel it out. So airborne is completely unproven, but the science that exists, and there's a good deal of it, shows that none of the ingredients will prevent or cure the common cold. Should add that claiming that you'll cure a disease is illegal without having FDA approval. Lord knows we've had so much work and success with working with the FDA lately.
Sure.
But they do a good job on improving drugs by and large. They haven't been asked to review airborne, which is why airborne stopped making the cold claim.
Steve, let me ask you this, if I can get you to take off your lawyer hat for just a second. I'm going to ask a question that's really just going to cause for speculation, I think is how they say it on TV. Why do you suppose so many products were sold of airborne? Why do you suppose so many people were repeat customers, would keep going back and buying it over and over and over again? Don't you think that for a lot of people there was some measure of success, or at least they felt like it was working for them and worth buying again?
You know, I think it was in The Jerk that Steve Martin said he'd found this really great new drug called a placebo. there will be absolutely a placebo effect. But as I say, you know, it's how do you know what works? We do know, one thing we know for a fact is that airborne made illegal claims and tricked people into buying it. The one thing I want to repeat what one of our nutritionists told me.
Okay.
That the science is pretty good now, although it's always in flux, that vitamin C itself might reduce the severity or the duration of a cold if you start taking it once the cold is present.
Okay.
It doesn't work for everyone. So at very best, airborne is a fizzy and extremely expensive vitamin C delivery system. And if people want to pay a buck a pop for something they could get for a penny, that's okay. But they need to know what they're getting.
Now, one of the things in the article was that the company Airborne really kind of took off when the woman that created it was on the Oprah show. Can we hold Oprah responsible? Can we sue her?
No. I don't believe Oprah endorsed it or her face is on it. Oprah is no more responsible for Airborne than she's responsible for, what was that, A Million Little Pieces, the James Fry book?
Right. Yeah, she was responsible for that.
She did apologize for that.
I saw South Park.
And she criticized him for it, and good for her. We hope that she'll re-examine Airborne as well.
Steve, look into Oprah, though. Look into the angle. See what she said.
See what you can do. I don't care what you sue her for, but sue her for something. Steve Gardner is with the Center for Science and the Public Interest. He is the litigation director. Tell us about Airborne. And by the way, if you did take Airborne and want to get your money back, you can go to airbornehealthsettlement.com because I'm sure you save receipts for every item you buy. So that'll be cash to collect.
Right.
But if I'm still on, because people don't save receipts, if you did buy it, you can get refunds for up to six without any receipt at all.
Okay, then I bought it.
Should go there.
Fantastic.
Well, put in a claim, dude.
I bought it. Fantastic.
Sounds good. Thanks for your time, Steve. We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Former sports guy Money joins us after the news at 8 to talk about all things Lakers. But I have a question for you first, Kevin. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you're not the right guy to ask, but what's new with Coolio? What's he up to?
I'm not kidding. You're going to think this is a joke. Coolio has a cooking show on the internet. It's called Cooking with Coolio. You can search YouTube, find it there.
Okay.
People may not even remember Coolio, but at one time, very, very popular rapper. Number one hit records. It's been how many years ago? Was it about 10 years ago he's probably real popular?
Gangster's Paradise, I don't know, 94?
Something like that?
95, 96?
It was like early, because I remember I was in junior high, and he had Fantastic Voyage and
yeah,
Gangster's
that's right.
Paradise. That was old school, dude.
Yeah, does a cooking show online, but he's trying desperately to stay thug. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to stay street. He needs that cred.
As he whips his eggs.
As he whips his eggs, right. And Bean was asking last time when they – remember that when they kidnapped the dude and then they wrapped his head in duct tape? He looked like a Mexican wrestler and they forced him to learn how to cook?
Yes.
Yeah.
None of that.
There's a weird aspect to that that episode of Cooking with Coolio. We never really understood that.
None of that this time, unfortunately, for the second
one. Oh, really?
One. But –
just straight cooking?
Omar and I, when we were watching, have come to the realization that they must be baked out of their heads. And that's why food sounds so good. Because they're way too excited about everything they do.
That makes sense.
So you got Coolio and you got Dreads. I think that's his gay sidekick's name, Dreads.
His echo dude?
Yes. And here's where they describe to you what they're going to do.
I'm Coolio with the flow, and we will not be eating no bullshit today. We're going to cook a bird.
Bird,
bird, bird, bird.
A bird is the word.
I said a bird, bird, bird.
A bird is the word.
And I'm going to cook it in peanut oil. Why do we cook it in peanut oil?
So it can't fly away.
Is there a psychiatrist in the house? I think this motherfucker. Need some therapy.
Yeah, and then they used a rooster sound effect, by the way.
Look out, Martha Stewart.
Yep. That dude, his gay sidekick, is, wow. And there's two cheerleaders behind them. Why? Don't know. Don't know. So they start talking about the ingredients, and just like last time, gay sidekick has to repeat everything that Coolio says. And then at the end of this clip, Coolio's got to take it back down the street and get offensive.
Quarter cup of lime juice.
Lime juice.
A quarter cup of lemon juice.
Lemon juice.
A dollop.
Dollop.
Of honey.
Honey.
Honey, honey. A full teaspoon of onion powder and put that in there. I'm going to take some balsamic vinegar. Y'all
balsamic
know I love
vinegar.
Balsamic vinegar.
Yeah.
I use that on all your mama's nipples.
Your mama?
All eight of them.
Huh?
See?
My response exactly.
Because he uses that on all of your mama's nipples.
Okay.
What does that even mean?
No one knows.
What does that mean?
What you don't want to do.
What?
Is drink this.
Now, here's the good part about a cooking show. When you're watching a cooking show, the following is what you want to hear.
Why? Because you'll be sh-ing like a goose.
Really?
You ever seen a goose sh-ing? It come out like this. Nah, we won't talk about that in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Too late.
Yes.
I already talked about it in the kitchen.
It's not really the kind of conversation that gets you in the mood to make a delicious warm meal.
No. So, but when you cook a turkey, you know what they have to put all of those ingredients in is a turkey injector, which is very sexual if you're Coolio.
This is a turkey injector. This is a quite proper one right here. We're going to inject him like a junkie on 42nd Street. First, we're going to add the breast implants. Ooh, it went from a B cup to a D cup. Ooh,
yeah.
Why does Coolio have a cooking show?
I don't know. But he's giving a turkey breast implants because breasts are part of a turkey.
Right.
You get that?
Uh-huh.
And then he was injecting.
I see.
Sexual enough for you yet?
I see.
Not sexual enough for Coolio yet. He ain't finished.
Back to the breast again.
Breast again.
Breast again.
Breast again.
Back to the breast again.
Breast again.
Breast again.
Breast again.
Inject this breast like Robert Downey Jr.
Timely.
Okay.
See, because Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
These guys are so effing high. Now they start making love to the bird. And again, YouTube, Cooking with Coolio. You won't believe it.
I'm going to take a little garlic. I'm going to put it in my hands like soap. And I'm going to rub her down. Rub her down.
Rub her down.
Yeah. Yeah. People is looking at me through the window of my kitchen right now.
Yeah.
And she's getting all hot.
Hot.
I never seen a woman get all excited from watching a man rub a turkey.
Turkey?
Are we still talking about cooking?
Okay, that's
just gross.
I don't
know. I am getting really uncomfortable now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the mother turkey has been injected. Shaka Zulu!
Yeah.
Shaka Zulu, his new catchphrase. Shaka Zulu. Enough sex talk for you yet?
Oh, yes.
No,
yes,
please.
Enough.
The bird has been properly molested. It's had a worldwide cavity search. And now, we're about to drop it like it's hot.
Drop it like
drop
it's
like
hot.
It's, huh? Drop it like it's hot. T-U-R-K-E-A. How you spell turkey?
T-U-R-K-E.
T-U-R-K-E-Y. I know how to spell turkey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stay in school, kids.
T-U-R-E-K-A. How do you spell turkey? That's Cooking with Coolio. And he also has a very, very good prize. If you send him a video response on YouTube, you can film yourself and send it to him.
No, I don't eat no damn baked turkey. No. I don't eat no roasted turkey. I don't eat no rotisserie turkey. Yeah. I eat fried turkey, baby. The person who sends in the best video response or comment to this episode will win an autographed Coolio bell pepper. That's right, a Coolio bell pepper.
What? Is it a real bell pepper that he signs?
Yes.
Okay. Mails to you?
Yes,
get on it.
So if you want to send in a response, you can get
quite the budget, don't
an
they?
An autographed Coolio bell pepper. Wow. You can or only Coolio. Come up with that when you're high, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, come on. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, congratulations to scrub Sarah Chalk, one of my favorite TV crushes. She's got a new gig. She is now the spokesperson for Hanes Underwear, promoting its No Ride Up Panties as a solution to women's wedgie problems.
Really?
Congratulations, Sarah.
Don't sound sexy.
Glad to see your career is just taking off post-scrubs. You're the new wedgie girl. You're the poster girl for wedgies.
Because they've never heard of a thong.
You know what I'd like to be? I'd like to be Sarah Chalk's personal wedgie watcher. When she's got some wedgie issues coming on, I just go, excuse me.
Help out.
Got to do my job. Woohoo. Clean out the wedgie region. Speaking of bad jobs, do you ever watch that horrible Kimora Lee Simmons?
Yeah. I have, yes.
I have seen
her.
Yeah.
You ever seen her foul show over there on the Style Network called Life with Kimora or
Style in the Fast Lane or something? I don't know what
Kimora,
it is.
Kimora, yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
She's bad.
Yeah, she's bad.
I would never stop hitting her with a snow shovel if I was in her presence.
Because that's why Russell divorced her, probably.
You know, she's got a new personal assistant.
Yeah.
She's got a couple of them. She's got a crew of people that work on her. It's like a pit stop at the Indy 500. People run out and just start catering to her needs.
But it's kind of like the Paula Abdul thing where it's like she considers them her friends kind of deal. You know what I mean? And she goes through them a lot.
It's ugly. If you're paying people to be near you or do things for you, they're not your friends.
Yeah, there is
They're
that.
Your employees. The New York Post reports that she's got a new assistant with a new position. It is the personal champagne glass filler.
Shut up.
No.
Whenever she does a personal appearance, this employee's job is to ensure that her flute doesn't get lower than an inch in the glass.
What the hell?
Too much money.
If your job is the personal champagne glass filler of Kimora Lee Simmons, take a champagne flute, crack it over the bar until it's jagged, and then just plunge it into your throat until you strike a major artery and bleed out, because you are no longer of use to us.
That's not a gig.
That is not a gig. I don't care what she's paying you. It's not good for anybody. Jenna Jameson's got a new gig.
What's her deal? Is she looking better now?
No.
She's put on a little weight. She looks a little better.
She's put on a little weight?
Yeah.
She used to be, she was hot for the longest time, she then got way not hot.
Beautiful girl. And then she started dabbling in plastic surgeries of and various and sundry.
Way too much weight.
Way too much weight. Took out her boobs.
Yeah.
She started an aggressive campaign of self-destruction.
She did. That's true.
She is now working for PETA.
Oh.
Oh, good.
She's got a new advertisement for the group where she dresses up as pin-up girl Betty Page from the 40s.
Sure.
With the tagline, pleather yourself. Discover the pleasure of pleather.
Yay! Trend leader.
Kevin's on board.
That's right.
As I go, so
Kevin
goes the fashion
rocked
world.
The green pleather long time before PETA was on board. So congratulations, Kevin. You must be so proud.
I wore that jacket one day because my wife told me it looked good and threw it away after that because I've never stopped taking crap for it.
It was
and rightfully
it was a green
yeah, it was bad.
Plastic jacket.
It was bad.
You said, no one's going to mock me for this as you put it on.
It was not the best choice.
Yeah. Pleather yourself. Discover the pleasure of pleather, by the way. It's an excellent tongue twister, but not very compelling as a slug line, I don't think.
Yeah.
Pleather yourself. Discover the pleasure of pleather. Pleather yourself. Discover the pleasure of pleather. Pleather yourself. Discover the pleasure of pleather. It's not easy.
No.
Ah. Bodog Life has released their list on odds on favorites who will win American Idol this year.
Oh.
Can you wager on this? Can you go to Las Vegas and put money down on this, Ralph?
I don't know if you can do it on
I don't think you can in Vegas.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can gamble in Vegas on anything that has a human element to the outcome.
Or could be manipulated.
Right. So if somebody at Fox decides they want to start screwing with things to make a better TV show, then Vegas would be upset. So I don't think you can. But I think you can online.
Okay. And so far the favorite is David Archuleta, the young phenomenon who is just 17 years old but sings with the voice and soul of an 80-year-old black man. He's got a lot going on, that kid. And the long shot at 55-1 is Danny Noriega.
There you go.
The aggressively gay Jessica Alba lookalike.
Sure.
Who wants us all to have a Merry Christmas and a rapey New Year. If you remember his video that was on his MySpace page.
He's the farthest? He's the worst odds?
He's the worst odds at 55-1, yeah.
Now, he's the one that that website, VoteForTheWorst.com, is getting behind, Ralph.
Fantastic.
Well, sure.
I'm in.
That's what they want. Jamie Lynn Spears has just got a new acting gig.
Really?
She's got a small story arc on the new TV series Misguided, starring Judy Greer, about a high school guidance counselor who comes back to the high school that she went to when she was a nerd and geek and everyone picked on her. Apparently, Jamie Lynn plays a young lady who is troubled but gets some exciting news from a college that she's looking to go to.
She finds out she's pregnant.
Does anyone point out she's pregnant in the episode? Yeah, I want to go to college. No, you're pregnant! You're going to shoot her from the neck up? Ashton Kutcher also stars in the same episode that Jamie Lynn Spears is doing. He plays a hot substitute teacher at the high school.
Is he behind this show?
He's the executive producer. So I wonder how they landed him for that role.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Ashton Kutcher, it doesn't seem like he ever acts anymore. You never see him in movies. You never see him on television. Is he just a mostly behind-the-scenes guy now?
Yeah, I think he spends a lot of time developing TV shows.
The last movie was that one where he was with Kevin Costner, remember?
About the hardscrabble life of the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Oh, those dudes.
Those are bad.
Talk about an exciting lifestyle. They have to get on the boat. They have to sail on the boat while they're sailing. Yeah. And they have to get off the boat when they're done.
That is true.
It's exhausting.
It's dangerous.
It's like being in Iraq, being in the Coast Guard. And sometimes you got to break ice.
Well, not very often, I hope.
In a glass with a little bourbon on it. Kirsten Dunst is in rehab. She's currently spending some time at the Cirque Lodge.
Teeth hab? They have that?
They don't have teeth hab. Mm. No.
Checking.
If they did, they probably wouldn't call it teeth hab.
I don't know what they would call it.
Cirque Lodge is, of course, the famous retreat where a lot of celebrities go to dry out. Lindsay Lohan was there. And
quite successful, clearly.
Yeah, she's doing terrific.
Yeah.
According to In Touch Weekly, she spends a lot of her time there smoking cigarettes.
Oh, good.
Taking walks. And sitting on the lap of her new boyfriend. Apparently, she's met a new fella inside. And they're very much in love. And I bet it's going to last.
They encourage you to date fellow
That's
rehabbers.
One of the 12 steps, I think, is start a new relationship.
With somebody shaky.
Yeah. Find a fellow addict and then start a passionate relationship and believe it's real. That's step 10, if I'm not mistaken.
Do they have ugly hab?
I don't know if they have ugly
They do
hab.
Before they have teeth hab, I'll tell you that.
Teeth hab. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor D.L. Ughley. He is a funny comedian also. He is 44 years old today. Tom Arnold turns 49. Rob Reiner. Remember him?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Very talented director. What was the last thing he directed? I guess it was The Bucket List. I guess was his latest film. He is 61 years old today. David Gilmour, legendary singer, guitarist of Pink Floyd, is 62. And TV personality Ed McMahon, who was the sidekick to Johnny Carson, who used to have The Tonight Show before Jay Leno. Believe it or not.
Hard to remember.
There was a host of The Tonight Show before Jay Leno.
Yes!
And the show was funny. I know that's hard to believe also.
That is just not true.
Ed is 85 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Matt Money Smith, our former sports guy, in the studio with us today.
How you doing, guys? It's great to be here. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. That's Psycho Mike.
He's on the phone.
Oh, he's on the phone.
So we actually have Money on the phone.
Right. Mo Bachman, Tabato Tequila.
Hey, Money.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
So, Money, you've been doing the pregame and the half game and the postgame for the Lakers for a couple of years now, but it's still got to be a thrill when the phone call comes in that says, hey, we need you on the broadcast.
It was pretty weird. Yeah, it was, and plus Michael, Michael's an Iron Man. He never missed a broadcast before in four seasons here, all his time in Portland. He did games for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Never once did he miss a broadcast. So we're talking 15 years.
So he missed because he was sick.
Yeah, he got a pretty gnarly case of the flu and just called our boss in the morning. And they kind of were trying to figure out, a lot of times what they'll do is if an analyst gets sick, if there's a player that's going to be on the inactive list,
right,
they'll just ask that player to do it.
Right.
But because this was a one-off, just in Sacramento in between home games, none of those guys were on the trip. You know, no Andrew Bynum, no Trevor Ariza, Chris Mim, none of those guys went with the team to work with the trainers on the road. Instead, they were all back here, so they were just kind of stuck. And because it was Sacramento, and you know, you got that Southwest and 900 flights to Northern California every day from our 5 or 7 airports down here. I managed to grab a flight, and
I gotta tell you, you know, I love you, Matt.
Yeah, I know you do.
I love Matt Money Smith. I really do.
Yeah.
However,
be careful.
But these are the Lakers, man.
That's right.
What kind of call is that? Where they just call up this schmo out of the blue and go, hey, fly up here and do the color commentary. Hey, I mean, come on.
I am a professional broadcaster.
These are the Lakers.
You know, I pointed out things like Kevin Martin, the two guard for the Sacramento Kings, looks like Arthur Asparagus from VeggieTales. observational skills right here.
Well, you're no Stu Nance, but all right.
Let me tell you about the Sacramento Kings.
Money, I know you have the diehard Laker fans who listen to and watch all the broadcasts. What kind of email response did you get after your appearance on the game the other night?
I think it was one of those less is more, because it was so different. You know, I was imitating Bill Walton when Powell blocked a shot and then got the ball back for a dunk on the fast break. You know, throw it down, big man.
God. Like that. So I hate Bill Walton.
I'm guessing in small doses they were all right with me. I mean, the reviews were good. The coaches seemed to like it. The front office people thought I did a great job, and it was just a different perspective. You know, I would imagine it was probably like just sticking a fan that's watched a lot of basketball in their life there to kind of share their observations. And I guess I shouldn't say lucky for me, but you know, I've been watching a lot of basketball, so
sure.
I kind of picked up on what the theme of the game was on Tuesday night, which was the Sacramento Kings completely outplayed the Lakers for 3 quarters, but they allowed them to stay in the game. And one of the reasons why the Lakers weren't winning that game is because Kobe was cold. You know, I think he was shooting about 30% going into the fourth quarter, and then he just went nuts.
He turned it on.
Yeah, he scored 17 points. The Sacramento Kings scored 18 in that quarter, and the Lakers won by, you know, 15 points. And it's pretty much the kind of what my observation of the game was.
And are you taking credit for the win?
Well, they kind of gave me credit.
Yes.
I guess, you know, very much, you know, superstition in sports is rampant, of course.
Sure.
They told me that I got to keep it going until the streak is broken, but I got to believe that's not going to happen.
So. Michael Thompson will probably be back.
Yeah, he'll just crack a conch shell on the side of my head if I try to sit in that chair again.
Are you excited to take Stu's place and start working with Joel?
Well, I guess if Joel were to shove his reading glasses in the side of my neck and kill me while I tried to hang out with him,
loaded question.
Well, there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Why does Joel hate you, Money?
Why does Joel hate me?
Because Money does an impression of him.
Yeah, because I do an impression of Joel. Yeah. So we go to the hole. I gave Sasha his nickname, The Machine, so now I say The Machine 900 times during broadcast.
I also call it Off the Window.
Yeah, Off the Window.
Every time it's a backboard. Hey, tipped it off the window.
You know what? It's one of those things where people would call P and I and ask us to do improv impressions, and it was one of the ones that stuck, and apparently he liked me making fun of the way he liked to call the game. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
All right, Money, tell us about we need to ask you a question that has come up before.
Okay.
We were talking about it earlier today. I don't know why it is that I hate Laker flags.
Oh, Laker flags.
On the cars. Mike has tried to explain why he hates Laker flags. I don't think I'm with him. What's your feeling on Laker flags?
Well, I think car flags in general are pretty obnoxious.
I agree.
It's not like a sticker or a license plate frame. I mean, it's flapping in the wind. And
so it's like over-the-top fan.
I think that may be it. And plus, it's, you know, and this is, you know, what's funny about this is, remember, we had this conversation when I was there during the championship run for the Lakers, and they popped up. I mean, every third car had a flag. And I think one of the things we talked about was that they're temporary. You know, everybody likes people, you know, fans, diehard fans, and people that love their teams want you to love them in the high times and the low times. And a flag is just so temporary that you can choose to support the team when they're playing great and not support them when they're not.
Would you agree with Psycho Mike that they're made poorly and that's your biggest problem with it?
They're made poorly.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
There's a new angle.
That's his big complaint.
It's not a good product.
You know? It's not just...
Hey, we don't need to hear from you. We know. We're summarizing.
Yeah. I don't like the material.
That's what he said.
Yes.
I can't necessarily support that position.
No. Money, could anyone anticipate Pau Gasol playing as well as he has?
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't think anyone could have anticipated the Lakers playing this well, but Powell, I mean, the reason why it's such a surprise is because Powell played in Memphis, you know, a team that never saw the light of day on a national broadcast.
Right.
Unless you actually watch Grizzly games, you had no idea how good he is. I mean, he is, you know, we actually had this debate on the Laker broadcast before. Whenever the Grizzlies would come to town, I always held that Powell's the best European player in the game. And some would say, oh, he's just a little too finesse. And I think it's because they didn't see enough of him and realize
right.
that he's so good around the basket. He can use both hands. He's got great vision. And you know, the thing about Powell, he's a smart dude, man. I mean, he was going to be a doctor. He was actually going to medical school, and that was his plan. And
me too.
Fell through. Yeah, I know, very much like you, Kevin. And so you fell into the world of literature.
Now, but the thing about him coming to Lakers is the chemistry seems to be perfect, instant. As if they've played their whole lives.
I'm going to name drop right now. Dr. Jack Ramsey was at the game on Sunday when Dallas was in town, and I had an opportunity to talk to him. And, you know, he's considered one of the greatest coaches of all time, won a championship with the Blazers. He's been an analyst for decades. And he said it's, you know, his contention is that there is not one player besides Pau Gasol in the NBA that would have fit the Lakers better than he did.
Wow.
They could not have acquired any other player, no matter who it was, that would have fit what they do better, because he's smart, he's a big man, he knows how to pass, and he can pretty much do everything you want around the basket with a team that's got a lot of other weapons. So there's another guy that just figured, you know, this is exactly what they needed, and look out.
Do you think any of this would have happened if Kobe hadn't made such a big deal about wanting to win a championship and be traded?
Well, the funny thing is there's a lot of things that happened this year that kind of worked out just to kind of make everything fall in place. I mean, you know, the Powell, and they said as much. Andrew Bynum got hurt in a game on a play where he had contact with Powell Gasol. That the Memphis Grizzlies were in town, and that's when Andrew, you know, got the subluxation of his knee and was going to be gone
right.
for up 8 weeks. So once that happened, that then made this trade come together. So that's one of the things. Kobe's, that, you know, there were a lot of options for the front office this offseason, not only with Kobe, but with Lamar and Andrew
sure.
Bynum and maybe Jermaine O'Neal coming back, Richard Jefferson. There were so many conversations, and for some, you know, I shouldn't say for some reason, but the front office like, yeah, you know what, we kind of like it. Let's see how they play until the trade deadline. And this is the conversation we had, you know, when I came on after we talked to Kobe and how we thought it was going to play out. I said, you know, I figure they'll probably play through December, maybe February, see what happens, and then choose to say, all right, we can't do this anymore. And for that matter, you know, the word was that the Bulls kind of had something put together. And with the exception of, I think there was one snag towards the end of that conversation that kind of blew that thing out that kept Kobe here. So there's just so many things that fell into place that now pretty much mean the Lakers are going to be a dominant team and in the mix for a championship, you know, if this sticks together, which I don't see why it wouldn't for the next, I don't know, 5 years.
And are you taking credit for that as well?
Well, maybe.
You should.
I'm not letting him have an inch of credit. I've got to talk about this all the time. See why he hates me?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
The Lakers, of course, play the Clippers tomorrow night. You can look for Matt Money Smith on the pregame, the halftime, the postgame, and depending on how Michael's feeling, maybe during the game as well. Money, we always enjoy catching up with you with the Lakers, dude. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
Thanks, dude. Bye. All right, let's talk about hot moms. Yesterday, Ralph was talking about Jeri Ryan and how she had another kid. She's 7 of 9. Is that her character?
Yes.
She was 7 of 9 on the Star Trek show. She also was on Boston Legal. She's just a terrific little actor. She was. She also was awesome on the OC, too. Unbelievably yeah. hot. And I don't know if she'll still be unbelievably hot by the time her new kid is old enough, you know, to have his friends over to appreciate her. But it has to happen all the time.
12 years from now, 13 years from now?
I think
yeah.
she'll still be hot.
I think she will,
she'll
too.
She'll be a hot mom.
So the topic came up, hot moms and how much trouble they can be. Because if your mom is hot, which mine was not, so I didn't have this problem. But, you know, all your friends want to come over to the house. So we were talking to our intern, Moose, who was saying that his best friend's mom used to walk around the house naked, and she was way hot.
What's up with that?
So he spent most of his, you know, high school years trying to figure out a way to get over to his friend's house.
I'll bet.
And apparently, you know, it's not like she did it on purpose the way he made it sound, and she was having sex with any of the kids at
uh-huh.
all.
Mm-hmm.
Just she didn't care.
Someone's not getting enough attention.
Yeah, well, that's probably the case. But if your mom is hot, that seems like it. She doesn't have to be having sex with anyone. We've done that before. Your parents
sure.
are having sex with your friends. She doesn't have to be having sex with anyone. She just has to be hot. And then your life is screwed because everybody wants to come to your house all the time.
Yeah.
And then they make comments about your mom. And then you go, no, she's my mom.
They're flirting with her and being really nice to her all
yeah,
the time.
That can't be good.
By the way, you know, in the interest of research for the show, because I'm a dedicated professional, I am on myfriendshotmom.com right now. And, for instance, here's the story of Mrs. James. This one is called Stopping By. This is a video you can watch. When Derek stops by Brenda James's house looking for her son, Tommy, he's hoping to get a pickup game of basketball going. Little does he know, he's going to end up picking up his hot mom instead.
Come on.
And you click on that. And I think, I don't think we necessarily need to go in that direction. It's not nailing your friend's hot mom, but it's your friend's mom is so hot that you look for all sorts of excuses to go over to his house. I think that's what the topic on the table is.
And what trouble it can be. Yeah, I mean, that just doesn't seem like that's good for you, the kid.
Not fun for you.
So 1-800-520.
Who are you looking at?
Mike just went to my friend's hot mom. Yeah, it's straight porn. That's what that is.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. After school tutor. All right. We'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067 when we get back. I know it's hard to believe that we were somehow mistaken because we're always accurate on the Kevin and Bean Show, 20 till 9. But Jerry Ryan, who we were talking about a minute ago, who just had a kid, has a 13-year-old boy.
Oh,
she already does.
Yes.
Okay.
So she's hot now. That would make it pretty bad for him.
From her previous marriage, she just had a new baby with the new husband, 13-year-old from the previous marriage. And that's going to be trouble for that kid because all of a sudden he's going to have a lot of friends that want to come to his house after school for milk and cookies or whatever else happens.
Well, milk and cookies, I think, would be enough for most of them.
Yeah, that's true. Those are the calls we're looking for, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Pedro in Gardena. Pedro, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about hot moms. What do you got?
Dude, I hated high school for this. I would have my friends want to come over, and then they'll talk about it with, like, their friends that I didn't know, and then their friends will come up to me and tell me, hey, can I come over to your house?
People that you didn't know?
Yeah, people that I didn't know would come up. But you know what? I got smart of it about it after 6 months, and I would tell them that I can't have people come over unless I finish my chores. So then they would come over and do my chores just to hang out.
They would do your chores.
How hot was your mom?
Well, she was kind of like a semi-professional salsa dancer.
Really?
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, the other aspect of this that's kind of icky is it's not just that, you know, like 14-year-old guys hanging out at the house, you know, leering at mom isn't bad enough, but you know the stuff that they're thinking and you know the stuff that they're talking about, and you had to have heard conversations that they were having with other guys about what they like to do, and it's your mom, for God's sake.
Yep, every day, man.
Good times. All right, Pedro, thank you.
It's a curse.
Yeah. Let's go to Jose, who is calling us from Reseda. Good morning, Jose.
Hey, good morning.
Hot mom?
Yeah, actually, I had a friend who hit on my mom directly when he was 14. He saw her for the first time. He had only been there for about 2 minutes. First thing he said was, whoa. And then after a couple of minutes, he hit on her in front of my family. They kind of laughed it off. And she said, you're too young. And as soon as she said that, he said, well, if everybody leaves the room, I'll show you. How much of an adult I can be.
He did not say that in front of you.
Yeah, he did.
Awesome.
It was very awkward, and he was dead serious.
Dude, did you say to him at some point, that's my mom?
Well, of course. I mean, next day at school, he was telling everybody about it, and
yeah,
it wasn't easy. Unfortunately, I never brought anybody over ever again after that.
So sad.
Poor little Jose couldn't have friends over because mom's too hot.
Yeah.
Mom says, honey, don't you have any friends you'd like to have? No, I don't. Thank you for the call. Let's try Brittany in Whittier on the Kevin and Bean Show. Brittany, you had a hot mom or have one?
I have a really hot mom. First of all, I just want to say I'm super excited about being on the air. Never been on the air before.
Oh, thank you for calling.
Okay, well, in high school, it was awful. I had a lot of boyfriends, and I had a lot of guy friends, and they would always want to come over because I was vice president of a marketing and business club.
Right.
So we did a lot of fundraisers and stuff like that, and every time we had a fundraiser or we had to go to a convention show, they'd be like, oh, let's go over Pretty's house, let's go over Pretty's house. And guys would straight up tell my mom, like, you're a MILF, you're a MILF.
Yeah.
And my mom would start blushing, she'd get really shy, and then when this guy came over, she's like, Brittany, how old is he? He must be like 20-something. I'm like, no, Mom, he's a senior. She's like, oh, my God, he's so cute. And I'm like,
uh-oh.
No.
Uh-oh.
And now, I had a crush on that kid since elementary school. I was like, no.
Your mom said that?
Yes.
What?
No.
I think she's saying that the guy that Brittany had a crush on was the guy that the mom was asking about because he was so cute. Do I have that right, Brittany?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
But that's not. You don't want to be in competition with your mom.
Yeah, the guy that I'm actually hooking up with now, he's not my boyfriend, and he wants to have a threesome with my mom. He's mentioned it a bunch of times because my mom used to be a Coors Light girl, so she has pictures of her in
Coors
Light mini dress.
Yeah,
and people ask about her all the time. Like, people will knock on her bedroom door when they come over if I have friends over. It's really embarrassing.
Knock on her bedroom door?
Wow. Yeah.
Hey, Brittany's mom, are you in lingerie? Come out. That's weird.
Super duper hot.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Where does she live?
I'm just kidding.
All right, Brittany, thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call. Let's do Ashley in Hollywood. Same deal. Hot moms is the topic of the day on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ashley, go ahead.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hot mom?
Yes, I have a hot mom. And all through high school and still, I'm 23 years old. My friends would want to come over to my house, my guy friends, to see my mom. And she finally caught on to it and started using it to her advantage.
Oh, no!
So she gets the front deck painted. She gets the house cleaned. She gets the backyard refurnished.
She puts them to work and then...
And they just do it.
And then...
they work, you know, full-time jobs. And they'll give up their weekends and they won't see their girlfriends. So they can come over and do chores for my mom.
Wow.
And your mom your mom would pay them how?
Oh, well... You know, she'll give him beer and, you know.
Oh, good. Like, excellent.
Give him a few bucks. But my dad absolutely loves it. He just sits back and watches all the young kids do all his work. He doesn't have to do anything.
That's funny.
That's hilarious. All right. Thank you for the call. Hollywood Hills, this is Tommy on the line. Tommy, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Go ahead.
Yeah. Bananas, man. Hot moms. RIP.
You had a hot mom?
No, man. My ex old lady. She's got big cans, bananas, and I've got kids with her. And, oh, she's hot, man. I'm telling you.
Bananas. Miss Tommy Lee?
Yeah, man.
Well, Pam Anderson is the hot mom in the neighborhood. I guess that would be trouble.
Yeah, and, you know, when you're a mom, either you're redlining the fast lane or you're super weak sauce slow-mo.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about, Tommy.
Totally, bro.
And Pam was redlining the fast lane?
Oh, man. And my two kids, they would be like, this shreds. You rip, Mom. You're hot rip.
Don't have much of a vocabulary, do you, Tommy?
What?
Ralph is here in the meantime with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday morning. What's going on?
Aren't you supposed to be in therapy? Is any of that helping? Is it taking it all?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I went last night.
Clearly not working.
Start going more.
Can you go twice a day?
Yeah. You have like a matinee you can go to too?
It's not like a movie theater.
I went to get a CAT scan type thing on my brain the other day because they're going to start medicating me. So
excellent.
You need it. You need something.
Spectacular. Can we start the medication now?
I don't know, man. All right. I mean, are you registered? Like, are you?
Yes, I'm a doctor.
To do that?
Yeah,
Kevin is.
Yeah, I'm a doctor.
For all the drugs Kevin's taking, he should be a doctor.
You can look
sort
at
an honorary degree in pharmacology.
Sure, yeah. They don't give honorary degrees.
They should to you,
the doctor.
Doctor,
you can look
good
at Mike and see why he's got so many problems, though, being, you know, so ugly and unpopular and untalented. You can see where all of that self-hate comes from.
Yeah,
sure.
Luckiest man in show business. Still not enough for him. What the hell?
You know who else is hot? Side Cycle Mike? Julianne Hough.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, she is.
She's one of the dancers on Dancing with the Stars, and I've never seen an episode of that show, but I do periodically peruse the photographs online to get little shots of Julianne because she is diabolical.
I don't think I've seen her.
There have been rumors about her throughout the tabloids about her hooking up with each of her Dancing with the Stars partners. She was Elio Castroneves' partner.
The F1 driver?
Yeah. And they reportedly had a torrid love affair.
Okay.
Apollo Ono, remember him, the skater?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I remember hearing that they were kind of a couple.
But turns out,
that's
Lisa...
good. I like that she's giving it up.
She may be seeing these gentlemen socially, but Kevin, she is not giving it up.
What?
In an interview with Cosmo Girl magazine, she says she's a good girl and still a virgin and will be until she gets married. She's a militant virgin.
You could stay up.
She goes around sealing up other women's hymens. That's how seriously she believes in
it.
She
an aggressive virgin?
She is aggressively virginianic.
Technically,
she will spackle you shut, Lisa, until you're married.
Technically, you could remain a virgin and still...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know? No.
Old man River.
Not happening, huh?
She says, I think the choice to have sex before marriage is an individual one.
Yes.
But if you're just with one person... It's only for one good reason, and that's because the sex will strengthen the relationship.
Balls.
It's bad news for Adam Carolla. That's all I'm saying. She's his partner in the upcoming season.
Yeah,
because
he had a
season.
Shot.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Hey, let's bone. No. All right, where's the pie?
That's what that conversation would be. Yeah. Not an aggressive pursuer of women, Adam.
No.
Never was.
No.
She's married now, of course, with two lovely twins, but
sure.
Never really put a lot of time and effort into the relationship thing.
Only two twins?
Just the two twins, yeah.
How do you think he'll do on that show?
Poorly.
I would think. Okay.
In a word, poorly. He's not a dancer by nature.
No.
Or
although
by nurture.
He does box.
It doesn't matter.
And that requires some footwork.
If it was a boxing competition, Lisa, I would say yes.
Would
perhaps he has an excellent chance of
sometimes things
going
translate
deep into the contest.
Like the Ono dude who's a skater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No doubt he could dance.
Yeah, sure.
He could dance.
Yeah. All right, let's stop talking
for inspiration. You don't box to music, usually. Mm. And I think that might have something to do with it. Rhythm. New relationship to you, Keanu Reeves and Parker Posey.
Interesting.
Really? That's so sad.
Whoa.
Really?
Posey. I'm
so sorry to hear that.
OK Magazine says the pair were spotted recently at Chateau Marmont, popular getaway for the celeb set, and they were all snuggled up together in the bar sharing a seat and canoodling.
Why are you so sorry, Bean? He's a really nice guy.
I don't like to see him happy, first of all, and I love Parker Posey so much.
He does.
We haven't played in a long, long time. Does anyone, please God, have the tape of Bean talking to Keanu Reeves?
Bean has that,
interviewing him and challenging him publicly regarding the quality of his acting.
Many people believe, I'm one of them, that you are the worst actor of your generation. Is this some way to wash
Have you seen River's Edge? Have you seen Tune In Tomorrow or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
You know what I saw? I saw Dracula, Much Ado About Nothing, and Little Buddha. That's all I've seen. I got to be honest. Maybe it's not your best work.
Yo, you didn't like Little Buddha?
Well, I didn't think you were good in it.
That's just balls.
Wow.
That's just brass ones.
No
what happened
kidding.
To a guy's face, he said that.
Cojones.
What happened before that is that Bean had been mouthing off about him for a long time about what a bad actor he was. And then we had him on the show, and I was challenging Bean. Are you going to tell him what you think? I was, like, putting him up to it.
Got to give our man
and
props.
And he did.
Got to give our man props.
Yeah.
It does make me sad, by all accounts, the single nicest guy in Hollywood. Like, no one who knows him has ever had a bad word to say about him, and he does lots of charity stuff, and he's just apparently kind. But, you know.
He even took that well. He even took your abuse well.
He did.
Yeah.
He
makes you feel
crappier
about it.
Oh, well, have you seen this? Perhaps you have perused this film of mine.
No?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, okay.
But this was before The Matrix, that conversation happened before The Matrix, and I thought he was fantastic in those movies.
Yeah, because he played a special effect.
Yeah. But he didn't hurt him, I guess. And that was my problem with him trying to act in other movies, is that he really brought down the quality of the film.
He destroyed Dracula, no question.
That movie had a lot of problems. He was one of them, though. Yes. Absolutely. He was one of the big ones.
Excellent!
Gary Oldman, however,
was great.
Emerged unscathed.
I thought he was
from
great.
Dracula, but anytime you have Keanu trying to pull off an accent of some sort, that seems to be a bad idea.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
And Kenneth Branagh said, "Let's see, I'm casting a Shakespearean film. Get me Reeves on the phone. I must have Keanu Reeves." Seems
no way.
Seems like a bad choice.
Logic there to me. Amy Winehouse. Now there's somebody I'd like to see in motion pictures. Well, actually, I did see her in a movie theater because it would be dark and then I wouldn't have to look at her face.
Oh, yeah.
She's got some facial issues.
She's on the road to the south quickly, isn't she? She's turning ugly.
Yeah, turning. She started off at her best day. She was, like, missing teeth and too much eye makeup and ratty beehive hairdo she used to
but
wear.
But she didn't used to look so aggressively bad.
Well, she's been working on it.
She's got face disease, bro.
She does have face disease. That's right. She's got impetigo, as I mentioned, which is a skin condition that is a result from a bacterial infection, usually staph or strep. And what it does is it creates large sores on your body.
Yeah.
That are itchy. And the more you itch and scratch them, the more it damages the skin, opens the skin, and allows more of the infection to spread throughout your body.
That's so hot.
And then you get covered in sores, much like a leper on Pitcairn Island.
That's
just not good.
Yeah.
Little Pitcairn Island reference.
Wow.
I don't even get that one. I usually have your back,
words.
But I don't get that one at all.
The HMS Bounty, when they... Oh, never mind.
Yeah, we shouldn't ask.
Story.
Well, anyway, she's got a new thing going on. She's back to her self-mutilation kick. Remember, she was cutting herself for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now she's taking it to another level. She's putting her cigarettes out on her face.
Oh, my God.
That was TMT.
I think I'm going to get through that one.
She's not putting her cigarettes out on her face.
Come on.
It should look like that, but it's not really happening. It should be the punchline for the joke, but in fact, that is actually the story.
Bean's not right. It's not like... That's what someone, a comedian, described it as?
No, a London newspaper said recently Amy was asked three times to extinguish a cigarette in a London restaurant because she was bothering not only the staff but fellow diners. And so she took the cigarette out and stubbed it out on her face.
Yeah, that's hot.
Witnesses said they saw similar burns on her face, thinking maybe not be the first time she's done it.
Wow. She showed them.
And on the bright side... Witnesses say she probably barely felt it because she seemed really high. So there, she's got that going for her.
That's so hot.
Now, we saw Viggo Mortensen put it out on a cigarette on his tongue in Eastern Promises. But this
that was for a role, by the way. It was for a movie.
Yeah.
This is for dinner.
On her face.
Wow.
Excuse me, can I get an ashtray? Can I get an ashtray? No, sorry, Miss Lyons. All right. What's for dessert? I don't know why she talks like a Cockney.
Yeah, it's weird. She sounds more like a criminal. Footballer for Arsenal or something than she has a singer.
Today's celebrity birthdays, TV personality Ed McMahon, who many of you may not know was a big part of The Tonight Show back in the day when Johnny Carson was the host. And he went on to bloopers and practical jokes with Dick Clark.
Sure.
Oh, that show used to make me laugh and laugh because sometimes people would want to say one thing and then they'd come up with something completely different.
Yeah.
It's like watching an hour of Kevin.
It is.
That's just so good.
Not very good.
We have had occasion to spend some time with Mr. McMahon over the years, Ralph, and I don't know that I've ever met a better guy, more professional guy, kinder guy, nicer guy, more giving.
Believe it or not, I did a pilot for a TV series with Ed McMahon once.
No kidding.
Yeah. Spent a week with the fella.
How'd that work out?
I felt the same way. Could not have been kinder.
Just TV royalty, that dude.
Yeah. David Gilmour of Pink Floyd is 62 years old today. Actor-director Rob Reiner is 61. Tom Arnold is 49 years old today. And comedian-actor D.L. Hughley of the Hughleys is 44 years old today. And no, you don't have a clip of the pilot of Me with Ed McMahon.
Damn
you
it.
Play the Omar clip. You don't have it.
What if they do, though?
I saw you and your little monkey friend scrambling over there trying to find some tape. And always say, oh, I think we have a clip of that pilot. No, you don't.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Nobody wants to hear
it. How do you know? How do you know he doesn't have it?
Because I know.
Maybe this time he does.
Because I know. Because I've got a heavy ceramic coffee mug in my hand.
No.
And it will go flying across the room. If he has, so I don't think he has it because he doesn't want shards of ceramic implanted in his chest.
Okay, I don't.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Ralph Garman, I walked the showbiz beat.
Look at me. Hey, here I am over here. It's me. Hey, guys, why aren't you talking about me? That's my Psycho Mike impression.
Yeah, real good.
Psycho Mike,
you're
like
a genius.
Psycho Mike is a unique individual. And
yes.
He discovered immediately 5 years ago that he was not on the birthday list.
No, listen.
And he said, hey, what about me, everyone? I'm not on the birthday list. Now it's been 5 years.
Don't skew this the wrong way.
Now it's been 5 years.
What are you presented at the way you think it should be presented, then, Mike? Because Kevin is basically telling the truth that you're the only person at K-Rock who cares whether his name is on the birthday list that they put up in the hallway every month.
You wouldn't know if I'm the only person at K-Rock who cares because I'm the only person at K-Rock who gets goddamn left off. And I mean the only person at K-Rock. And
but
that's
I'll
my
tell,
big problem.
I'll tell you that.
Listen, I
bet Lisa doesn't even know whether her name is on the list, and it doesn't matter to her whether it is or not.
I'm Lisa just guessing.
Bean, I'm on the
yes,
list.
Yes, dear.
Lisa knows on she's the on the list because I bring her flowers every year for her birthday, just like a lot of people do,
yes,
because it's
does.
Nice to have your birthday recognized. But honestly, it's not me getting my birthday recognized that I care about. If the birthday list was reserved for like really major players here at K-Rock, and that's all it was, I'd understand, and I would say, look, I mean, who am I? I'm the bottom of the totem pole. No big deal. The fact that...
I don't recognize about 17 names on this list.
For March. You don't know anybody. Don't know anybody on the current list.
For March alone.
And for instance, last month, February, a guy named Chris Schechter on the list. We all know Chris Schechter. Great guy. Used to work here at
yeah,
K-Rock.
He hasn't worked here in a couple years.
About 4 years or so. He hasn't worked there. You know, and if you scout, you know, go through month by month, poor man on the list.
Yeah.
Ricky Rackman.
Sure.
Internet Predator Chip. All on the list. People who don't even goddamn work here.
Well, we brought in Helen, who pretty much runs the place.
Hi.
Hi, Helen. How are you, my dear?
This I feel so bad. I feel like this. Like,
oh, please
Mike
don't.
This is my fault.
Oh, no, please don't feel
remember
bad.
That it's Mike.
Please
5 years,
I
though.
Know.
5 years. Seriously.
I know, but can I tell you, I looked into it, and your birthday is wrong in the system.
What is his
what?
Birthday in the system?
April 2nd.
Okay, so is he on the April list?
Yes, he's on the April list.
He is?
Oh. Yes.
When? Show me this April, because I didn't make the April list.
I will show it to you.
What Mike is saying is he wasn't on the April list last year, if that was the problem, or the year before, the year before. He's saying he's never been on any of the lists in 5 years, is what he's saying.
No, that's not true.
But I can say that he's self-centered enough that he would have checked pretty accurately.
But do you want to be on the list because you want people to buy you presents?
Yes. What do you think?
Is that what it is?
Great question, Helen.
No, I don't. I want to be on the list because I feel that I at least have some power over people who don't even work here anymore. If it, like I said, if it was just a list for like the major people around the station, I wouldn't even get paid any mind. It's the fact that people who not only don't work here, but were fired dishonorably somehow still make the list.
Are
Gay
sure?
Ryan on the list.
Are you sure?
Yes!
Because I get that list every month from payroll. So it's always the most up-to-date list, so they say.
Well, they're still paying people that they shouldn't
great.
Be paying.
Yeah.
And we need to look
into
like that.
Looks like we have another problem.
The giant female intern that tased somebody. Name on the list.
Yeah.
Birthday
list. Gigantor on the list. Gigantor on the list.
Got fired for tasering a listener.
Okay, I'll fix it today.
No, please don't.
I'm going to add his name.
No, but I'm saying please don't.
Why?
Because it's really funny.
But
now.
I like Mike.
Yeah, I
Thank
know. You can
like
him.
Too.
But you can like him and you can...
Put it in your personal calendar.
But I'm asking you as a favor. I know Mike wanted to do this to call you in to fix it. But wouldn't it be funnier to not have him on the list?
But
still
I just don't want him to have his feelings hurt.
But I do.
Too late. And by the way, I'm dead behind the eyes working with these two all you know, the last 4 years. So don't worry about my feelings. It's just
all right. Let me ask a question again. And I agree with Kevin Helen. There's no need to put him on the list. Don't even worry about that. But why? I have to know. Why do you care whether anyone knows it's your birthday?
I do
Is
have
there
to
anything
say,
more self-centered in the world than hey, look at me. Today's the anniversary of the day I was born.
I do have to say that I would not know if I was left off.
You're not left off.
No, but I wouldn't know.
I'm or saying, care, though.
He never
right.
looks.
And I wouldn't care if I was.
Kevin, you often don't know if you're awake. I mean, you're not like the best.
How dare you?
I mean, the lists are all over K-Rock. I mean,
but answer my question, Mike. Why do you care whether other people in the building know it's your birthday?
I honestly don't. And you can get my wife on here, someone.
What, you don't
I never
care?
Make a big fuss. It's the fact that as the years have gone on and I started to notice the people and the caliber of people that make the list over me, that's what started to irk me.
All right, let me take your side just for a second. The
okay.
first year, you probably thought, well, I'm new.
Exactly.
No big deal. Second year, you probably got your feelings hurt a little. And then at that point, I imagine you glanced at March every time the birthday list got put up because you realized that you were not on there.
You hit it spot on. The
first year.
I got hired at the beginning of the year. My birthday's in March. So the first year, I was like, okay, I mean, I'm not even in the system yet. Second year, I went to go grab some water. I looked up the list and said, no big deal. By third year, that's when I started to make a fuss. And then
you start checking other names.
But exactly. That's the first thing I did. And it was the third year. I'll never forget. Someone who had just gotten fired, like just gotten fired from the promotions department, still on the list.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, they just don't care. They just don't care about a brother like me. You know what I'm saying?
And that's why, Helen, we would like you to please promise us that he will not ever make the list. Honestly.
I can't.
Oh, come on.
Fix it.
Oh, Helen.
No,
I'm sorry.
You're too much of a bleeding heart.
I am.
No, you can tell him you like him off the air, but don't put him up on the list.
But I'm going to do it.
But it's going to be funnier if you don't.
Swedish Eagle on the
Still
list.
Still on the list, yeah.
Shaolin Robot.
Yeah.
Michael Richard LeMay, Blade's man.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Kevin and I have some money for you, Helen, for Richard Blade's cake for this Friday.
Oh, perfect.
We're sorry. You missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Here's the toll-free number, 1-800-520-1067. You pick up the phone, you give us a call on any topic, which you put you on the air, and we get a great prize for you. Today, it's a Kevin Bean What It Do, Nephew t-shirt and Lost the Video Game on the platform of your choice, now available in stores. Guys, it's a game based on the TV series featuring characters struggling to survive on a seemingly deserted Pacific island. That's what it's about, in case you didn't get the gist of it.
I'm a little time, more time working on the show, less on video games. How about fixing the show first?
Cindy in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
What did you do?
Did you know that I was kin to the Foo last night? I went to the show.
You were
the Little Rock show.
The Foo Fighters at the Forum.
Uh-huh, the Foo Room.
The Foo Room.
Oh, yes. Look at you.
There you go.
Cindy, you haven't been to sleep yet, have you?
It was snow. I'm on my way to work. I even had to work today to get home to one, but he was so awesome. But you know what I'm worried about?
What?
I'm jealous.
You're jealous.
Why?
I think he has a man crush on Taylor Hawkins.
Oh, he does. There's no question about that.
Yeah, they love each other very much.
They're best friends.
They do. It was so cute. But he was just so charming and funny, and everybody loves him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's why you don't tell have a shot, about, by the way, Cindy.
Tell us about the special celebrity guest musician that showed up last night.
It was the guy from The Police. The drummer is Taylor Hawkins' idol, and it was so good. It gave me the chills, and they played great, and just everybody needs to go and see the Foo, man.
This is. I'm glad you brought that up, because this is what's awesome, because we've had Taylor on the show before, and he's obsessed with The Police. It's his favorite band. In fact, he plays drums. He played drums a few weeks ago in a Police cover band. Remember? That's how much he loves and idolizes Stuart Copeland. And Stuart Copeland shows up at the Foo Fighters show last night and gets on stage and plays a song. How awesome is that?
Great.
It's pretty cool until you realize, wow, I'm not that good.
And Taylor sang while Stuart played, so it was a very
that's
cool.
Pretty cool.
Very cool show. If you ever get the chance to see the Foos, you ought to do it.
Another sold-out show tonight, so a lot of people, I'm sure, are looking forward to that. Steven in La Habra. Good morning. What'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, Lisa?
What'd it do, Steven?
What's going on?
So is today what'd it do, nephew, or is it what'd it do, Psycho Mike, and your hatred of Lakers flags?
I don't understand the question, but...
Wow. Well,
yesterday.
No, I mean, I heard him, and we were talking about it earlier this morning, too. I understand his hate for those flags. I don't agree with him, but I don't like him either.
You understand his hatred for those flags?
No, not his. Yeah, you're right. I don't get his, but yeah, they're not made well, is what he said this morning.
Well, that wasn't my only reason.
Just about.
That was the strong one. You wanted chiffon flags to drape the cars.
They would look better. That's all I'm saying. But Money agreed with me. They seem to be a temporary thing. Out of all the other Lakers souvenirs you could pick, those are the worst ones. That's
it. Oh, no, stop them now. Stop them now.
Yeah, it's not possible.
Here we go again, Steven.
Steven, it's not possible to stop him. He just...
He's gonna die. Is he married to the station owner or the station manager or something? His job seems to be pretty well protected there.
Yeah, it's not right, is it?
Yeah, no, not at all.
We'll look into it. Thank you, Steven. Let's go
we kept
to...
him off the birthday list. We did that.
We did the best we could.
Yeah.
Let's go to Brenda in Crestline. Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Well, last week I came home from my week at work in L.A. You know, I commute once a week, stay in Burbank, and then I come home to Crestline to find all of my mittens with the fingers cut out. It's not funny.
That's very funny.
No, he cut the fingers out of my gloves, my mittens.
Your mittens? And, I thought mittens were like one piece with a thumb.
No.
Fingerless mittens are a wristband.
The little stretchy mittens.
You mean the gloves?
They're gloves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your boyfriend cut the fingers off to make them fingerless gloves.
Well, and his reason was it's easier to work in, because our house is always kept at a balmy 50, sometimes 46.
Nice.
So, it's easier to do things around the house, so he said.
Does he do things around the house?
Oh, yeah. Well, last week he was, studying and all that, so he says, it's easier for him to, turn the pages.
Studying by candlelight with gloves on.
Did you say, hey, how about getting some gloves of your own?
No, but he's going to buy me some.
How about not having a space heater?
How about not making it 46 degrees?
Oh, no, he's tightwad.
Wow, Brenda, you are having a fun life.
Yeah,
it's amazing that you ever go back to Crestline.
I wouldn't.
Oh, I'm going back there right now.
Yeah. That's a bad choice, Brenda.
Enjoy being a pioneer.
Enjoy freezing to death.
You were best to Abe Lincoln in the log cabin.
By the way, imagine how hard this conversation is for Lisa, man. If it gets below 75, she falls apart.
I would die.
Her lips turn blue.
She would. She would absolutely die. All right. I suspect we're out of steam. Are we done?
Sure.
I want to thank our special guest, Dr. Drew Pinsky, for joining us today. Celebrity Rehab is a show. It's been an outstanding season. Tonight is the final episode before the reunion next week. Please catch it at 10 o'clock tonight on the VH1. Thanks to Matt Money Smith for joining us, too. Of course, he does the pregame, the halftime, and the postgame for the Lakers. Their next game is going to be tomorrow night against the Los Angeles Clippers. Hey, do you and Dave have a bet, by the way?
We do, and I believe that should be paying off quite handsomely very soon.
Good. Look forward to that. Very and soon. Thanks to Steve Gardner for joining us. He is the litigator for the Center for Science and the Public Interest. He wants you all to get colds and die,
yep,
apparently, because he represented, I guess, the people filing suits against Airborne, one of the best products ever invented.
Airborne, which cannot prove that they can cure or prevent colds.
He wants to drive that a business so we all die.
That's what he's hoping for.
Is his goal?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bother you guys that it's false advertising.
It bothers me. I'm glad they fixed that.
Yeah.
Bothers
Mr.
me
May,
that
advocate.
Absolutely.
It works, is what I'm saying.
Then keep
so don't monkey
it.
With it. Then don't
no,
monkey with
not.
It, is what I'm
you
saying.
Can take
maybe they'll go out of business with this $25
no.
million dollars they got to pay. That's
they
what I'm worried about.
They've made $25 million in the snap of a finger, that
yeah.
company, because they can prevent colds, haven't you heard? Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. The Guinness Brewmaster, Fergal Murray.
Fergal Murray!
He's going to be on the program.
Oh, Fergal.
What are you going to be talking about, Fergal?
Well, I'll be talking about the fact that Guinness is food.
Guinness
what?
Is food.
Yeah, you should drink as much Guinness as you possibly can. And we're also trying to get St. Patrick's Day to be a national holiday here in the United States of America.
And we are down with that because it seems like a bad plan to have, you know, St. Patrick's
Look
Day.
Look at how many holidays the Jews get, first of all. We don't get any. There's no Irish holidays.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it is interesting because I bet there's an awful lot of work that doesn't get done on
sure.
St. Patrick's Day. I bet that's got to be one of those days that
productivity
is way, way,
St. Patrick's Day work gets
way, way
done.
Down.
It's March 18th that the work
Day
doesn't
after.
Get done.
Yeah.
You should have both
right.
off.
It's just a lot of vomiting.
Also tomorrow, No Cussing Week continues in South Pasadena.
Ooh.
Mike, Psycho Mike lives there. He's going to go out on the street with the microphone and find out how that's going for those people.
Right.
Ralph's here with the movie beat because tomorrow's Friday. We got Robin Big. Rob is going to be here in the studio. Excited about that. And we have Kim Martin, who's a contestant on That's Amore.
Ugh.
One of the people who got in a fight, I believe, in the first episode.
Yeah, she would not let up on this girl named Hunter because Hunter didn't shave her vagina. They had a big
wow.
argument about that.
If you haven't seen the show, I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's true. So join us tomorrow morning for all that.
Or stick around. Cat Corbett is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, that new band called Ludo you'll be hearing from. Love Me Dead is the song. Also Sublime on the way. We got some AFI, Rise Against Jane's Addiction, and more straight ahead after this on good old K-Rock.